The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I saw this story. I thought it was interesting, especially people that work in customer service and hospitality and all that. And I'm sure they were quite busy over the weekend with everybody, more people out and about, vacation and all that other stuff. But this is actually out of England. There's a bar that put up a sign talking about their customer service. And essentially, the sign was put up at a place called the Beer Cellar. So we're talking about a bar.
Yeah.
And it said that members of the staff, they put it up. Somebody was kind of being sexually harassed by a male customer, just, you know, wouldn't be let alone. So they put up a sign that basically said why the cashier is being nice to you. And the pie chart was accompanied by categories: she's uncontrollably sexually attracted to you. Or also because it is literally her effing job, you cretin. And the pie chart was completely
right. That
it's literally her job.
Yeah.
Which got me to think about people who work in positions where they're just getting hit on constantly.
Well, that's one of the top ones. You got to figure if you're a bartender or a
female bartender.
Yeah. Cocktail waitress. I bet you men do, but not as much.
Yeah.
Because men are just going to be more aggressive in the hitting on category. But I also, another one that I would imagine would be way up there would be working in a salon or working in a, Master Cuts or Super Cuts or Super Master or Master and Commander Cuts.
Mm-hmm. What?
That, and I was thinking, you know who else probably gets hit on a lot, I would imagine, are flight attendants.
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
it used to be the norm. And the way they would position, they would actually sell the sex. I was looking at some retro ads from, like, I think it was maybe Pan Am. And the stewardesses were literally draped over the chairs in, like, poses with short skirts on. And it was basically saying, you know, ride us or fly us or sit on our faces.
But I remember being blissfully naive when I was younger.
Sure.
And, you know, and a server or a bartender was being really, really nice.
And you thought,
like, wow, oh, my God. She's way out of my league, but
she just brought me food.
I think she's interested in me.
She just brought me food. She fed me.
And just how stupid that is.
She didn't want me to be thirsty. She just brought me a drink.
When I was 22 or 23, we would go to Hooters at least once a week. And it was that's the entire appeal of that restaurant. And I fell for it every single time.
Absolutely, right?
Yeah, and I'm naive and an idiot, but it was still fun going with my buddies.
Yeah.
They've set this up so that these attractive women can meet a guy like me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They sit down at the table with you? They must really like you.
They don't do that for everyone, except everyone in this room right now. But
right.
Yeah. We can't count strip clubs in here, right?
You know, I
bet you yes, you can.
That's different.
But not everybody gets it. I mean, somebody who's maybe never been to one or doesn't understand thinks, wow, she really likes them.
She's talking to me just like a regular guy.
Yeah, we had hired went back in my early 20s, we had hired a stripper to come to the house.
What's your name, Steve?
No, she was attractive. But I just remember one round, she paid extra close special attention to me, and I thought, wow, she really likes me.
She's been tired of the business, and she's found in me somebody she can really connect with.
What I didn't realize is that I handed her a 20 and not a 1. And I was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Can I have $18 back, please?
But listen, there's got to be people that do work in, not necessarily stereotypical jobs like that, like a server or something like that, or a bartender where alcohol is involved.
What about nurses?
Where they're getting fired on all the time. And or even, you know, somebody like if you're attractive and you work at a grocery store, you're the cashier.
Cashier. Yeah.
I bet they get fired on quite a bit.
Oh, my God. She just put my groceries in a bag.
She didn't have to bag that.
I could have done that. I'm getting the signals loud and clear.
Mm-hmm.
You just rang me up. Now I'm going to ring you up. I'm going to make you feel so good.
Oh, actually, my buddy, Steve, was a male work cashier. No, not a dancer. at a grocery store. Man,
did he?
Oh, my God.
Did he get hit on?
Oh, he got so much tail.
Really?
Work,
but
yes.
I think he seemed impressed as a guy who has a little game.
Yeah. He was better looking in his younger days.
He would parlay.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'd love to hear that.
Yeah.
Damn.
And he,
I guess he's not an ugly guy. No. Don't think he's just an overly attractive guy.
Not, but he would, he'd work it.
Confident.
And it was real easy.
Is this just a porn thing, or do massage therapists get it?
All the time.
You mean...
Hit on.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Did they get
I thought you meant when you accidentally let a finger slip and all of a sudden they go, ooh.
Ooh, what's that?
That was unexpected, but awesome.
I didn't pay for that.
Right. Wow.
Oh, I bet you they do.
What, get hit on?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Well, okay, so I did not hit on this person. However, I could easily see how he could get advances all the time. When we were at our mixer in Atlantic City, we went to the spa the next day, and I got some crazy wrap treatment done. It was awesome. But I didn't tell them what my preference was. Yeah. I said I didn't care. So they gave me a male massage therapist, and he was this Russian guy who spoke with a heavy accent. And at one point, the treatment that I got, there was a little shower in the room.
Good looking dude?
He was young. He was good looking. He was fit.
I'm going to put my penis on floor.
And he spoke like that, basically, Steve. Yeah.
Really?
And at one point, there was a shower in there. And at one point, so I had to go into the shower and rinse off. So he's like, in his accent, which you could do if you want, Steve.
You want me to come in to wash boobies?
No, but Steve, he was like, I'm going to exit. He's like, you're going to rinse off. He's like, then you stand in back of shower. I come back in, stay in back of shower so I can't see you. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, all right.
Yeah, you stay right there. Do not want to see boobies and hatchet wound.
But he was young. He was good looking. Spoke with the accent. People, girls have to hit on them.
I would imagine. Yeah.
This is a funny text. Says, hey guys, I was kind of dating a stripper in college. She would come over and we'd mess around, and she really, really wanted that Paris Hilton perfume when it first came out. I bought it for her and gave it to her one night while she was over. She never talked to me again.
Wow.
That's all she wanted.
That's all she wanted.
She wanted the Paris Hilton perfume.
Paris Hilton perfume.
It's a gift.
Yeah. Hang on. Let me go to Laura, who is a bartender at a strip club.
Okay.
And says that that's an interesting dynamic. Hey, Laura, how you doing?
Hey, good. How are you?
Good. So what is that like?
Well, I don't work there now, but it was at Delilah's.
Okay.
In the 90s.
Yep.
And I worked there for about 10 years. And I used to get hit on all the time. This one guy got me mugs that had cats on it because I said that I like cats.
Oh, my God.
Of course.
Here's a sweatsuit that has a cat's airbrushed on it.
Yeah.
But you think
you like cats.
But listen, Laura, that's got to be, for the bartenders there, that's got to be another level. Because at least with the dancers, you go, okay, well, look, they're paid. They're going to, they're going to fawn all over me because I'm giving money. The bartender, however, might actually be interested in me because she's not getting paid to hang all over me.
Absolutely. It was usually the 21-year-olds. Like, they're real fresh to Delilah's or any strip club that was too shy to ask a dancer to dance, and they'd sit there and flirt with me all night and then leave me a $2 tip.
Did you ever hook up with anybody that you met?
No, actually, no, because only a few people asked me out. I went on dates to, like, the Phillies games. And
okay.
Stupid dates, but no, nobody took me seriously, even if I had an interest.
I would think that what you get, the dynamic you get, is that it's like, those are the dancers. But the bartender's probably looking for something long term.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then, so that's a girl I can date, but not the dancers. Yeah. So you're right there. Now, did you work that to your advantage, tip wise, occasionally?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Because I would get, hey, that girl wants to dance for you. She thinks you're cute.
Is there an understanding between the bartenders and the dancers? I mean, will you
sometimes?
Okay.
Yeah, I had my favorite because I knew that they would kick back some money to me if I got them dates.
Yeah, that's what I was imagining. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Are you married or anything now, Laura?
No. Single with two kids living in Phoenixville.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks for the call, Laura. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take care. We'll see you. Yeah, that's true. I would imagine. Yeah, the strip club, the bartender, as opposed to the dancers, probably.
Well, that's part of the job. But this, as you said, Preston, she's a bartender. She's not working it for that.
Let me go to Kate, who was a bartender. Hey, Kate, how you doing?
Hi, good. How are you?
Doing well. So what did you want to tell us about getting fired on at work?
I am a bartender now. Oh. I used to work at a gym, and that was even worse than being a bartender now.
Were you a personal trainer?
No, that's the funny part. It's not like I'm this fit person, stretch them all out. I was literally working the front desk.
So you're just working at the front desk, but they would come in, and how often would you get hit on?
I mean, you could mistake it for, you know, endorphins.
Yeah, yeah.
I worked every day from, 5 in the morning to 9:30-ish, so I opened. So it was the same people every day.
Right.
You always got those happy workout every day people. So, but yeah, I mean, it was like a feeding pool for these married men or these divorced. It was crazy.
I don't doubt it. That's the scenario. So they're going off. They're going off to do something that's not questionable. They're going
up
to
work. Women, it was insane.
Would you get hit on by women?
No. I mean, all of them together. They would all work out together, and then they would all. I wouldn't be surprised if there was things going on.
Oh man, listen, I know personally of some stories that have been told secondhand of some very scandalous things that have gone on in gyms.
Oh, yeah. That's why I don't go to the gym, man.
Involving the people that work there and married people,
it's crazy. I guess it depends on what gym you're going to as well, and what the status and where it is, but. Yeah.
That's why, Casey. That's why you don't go to the gym.
Yeah, I don't want to get hit on by a bunch of guys.
Yeah, but Kate, you got it worse at the gym than you do now as a bartender.
Yeah, I do.
That's obnoxious.
Wow.
It is. Like I said, I think it depends on where you're working as well. But
Okay. I can see that though. You know what? It's also
thanks, Kate.
Familiarity breeds.
Yeah.
That as well.
Yeah.
I see her every day. I'm going to do it.
Sure, or you warm up to somebody and you become more and more attracted to them the more you get to know them. Or the opposite can happen as well.
I hate you.
Yeah. Oh, God, I hate her. let me go to Marissa. Hi, Marissa. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Gadzooks. What's up, Marissa?
When I was younger, I put myself through college working at Victoria's Secret, and we used to get hit on all the time by a married man, like the other caller was saying. We used to have guys come in. They would say to me, oh, you know, I can't imagine how this is supposed to look. Could you try it on?
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
That's just a flat-out pervert.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. Of course, at Victoria's Secret, at a lingerie, predominantly lingerie store, you're going to get fired on like crazy.
Yes. And there were many, many of both sexes crazies that came in there.
What's the store policy as far as, you can't put on something for somebody, right?
No. Yeah. I was 18 too. I'm sure that's legal and all, but no, that was not happening. And they would even say stuff like, "I'm not sure this is going to fit my wife, but she's about your size. Could you try it on so I can see?" And
crazy. What you should have done? You should have gone back to the stock boy and had him put it on. Ramon, this is Ramon.
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
Are your girlfriend's balls bigger?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Thank you, Marissa. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Yeah, of course, Victoria's Secret or Fredericks of Hollywood or any place like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that ever work, that stupid line?
What woman? What guy? It's so stupid every which way you look at it. Could you try this on? We're in the middle of King of Prussia Mall. Can you put on these crotchless panties?
Here's a surprising one. Let me go to Danny. Hi, Danny. Good morning.
The end is purple.
Yes, the end is
purple.
What's up, my man?
How you guys doing?
Good.
I work as an exterminator for a local pest control company, and you wouldn't expect it. I mean, I wouldn't even expect it, but I get hit on a lot in the city.
I believe that. I mean, so are you, you know, without sounding crazy, are you a decent-looking guy, I assume?
I would say decent, but I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to say, but it's just surprisingly with a lot with the older black women, too, at some of these places that we service, they just are all over us.
So how overt has it gotten, Danny?
It's never been to the point where I'm uncomfortable. I kind of just laugh it off and keep going. But I just thought, I don't know.
Well, what's been said to you? What sort of insect double entendre was said to you?
Pretty direct comments on my ass.
Really? Yeah, you got a nice ass.
Oh, yeah. Things of that. I played hockey for years. So.
Let me see your cockroach. But you haven't been felt up or anything like that.
No, grazed.
Grazed?
But nothing that I thought was over the line.
Okay. That's wild.
Interesting. Exterminator. Thanks, Danny.
I would imagine that, you know, there's the commercial with the woman at home and then the plumber shows up.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
It is pretty funny, yeah.
Yeah. Let me go to Frank here. Hi, Frank. Good morning.
Look at me. I'm on the radio.
And you are.
You are, Frank. What's up, man?
No, I did it.
Yeah.
So, I used to be a bank teller, and those girls would get hit on all the time.
I'll bet.
And we would have regular guys come in. Like, there was one guy who, like, we have your check. You work at Pizza Hut. And he would be wearing a suit and tie every time.
Right.
Dude, where are you going? And the other guy would send little gifts through the drive-thru.
Mm-hmm.
Like stuffed animals and, like, those $20 necklaces you get at, like, mall kiosks.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to dazzle you with this $14 necklace.
I never realized this, but until Frank mentioned that, and because my wife does all the banking for us, so I haven't been to the bank in ages. Yeah. But I used to enjoy going through that drive-through, and they would speak to you, through the speaker, and you could see them at the same time. And I didn't even realize that I found that kind of hot.
Yeah. Really? Yeah, there's one girl that I like, and then the other girl is whatever. But the one girl, I'm like, oh, hey. Oh, she smiles at me, and I smile back at her. Yeah. And then I'll show up, and then
your top.
She's not there anymore. And I'm like, oh,
you.
Where's the other girl at?
What did you say?
I got this Beanie Baby for her. Give it to her. Thump.
Did you ever send a gift?
Never.
Oh.
No, but you know what? They usually have dog bones. So,
and lollipops.
Yeah,
lollipops. That's it. They didn't send lollipops through there.
So they send dog bones out to you?
To my dog.
Except there, I went to one. Do you remember the lollipops that had, instead of a stick, and it was like a string that was doubled?
Looped.
Yeah, looped.
Yeah.
What's that all about?
What, they have that at your
Come
bank?
Come on, man.
What's this, a bank lollipop?
That's not even trying.
They're kind of cool. It's like you just stick your...
I guess you're not getting a handy.
I didn't even realize that bothered me till now. I'm having all these bank therapy. This bank issues I've held on to forever.
You get turned on, though, by the bank teller?
In hindsight, I remember hearing that voice being pleasant and something kind of, I don't know, about sexy, about her being behind the glass and talking through that microphone and the speaker coming out.
Would she put her feet up on the glass?
Yeah.
Maybe I've repressed a few memories. Yeah. Or it might have gotten more intense.
Where are you from, Sam?
You guys could kiss each other through the glass, her up against the glass window, you up against your car window.
She would be smashing her boob up against the
Like Midnight Express.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what, though? Like, all right, so I've never actually hit on anybody like that. However, I have seen people, and I could get it. Like, if you're single, you know, and, like, basically everybody's sort of fair game, then why not? You know what I mean? Like, why not? That could be your potential wife right there.
You're saying that, as you're smashing your junk up against the window?
You do have to consider, how often do I go here?
Mm-hmm.
And is this going to...
How much money do I have?
And how much money... No, is this going to kill it? You know, if I go here and this goes sour, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if you're not crazy and you really are, you know, you want to see where this can go... Why not?
But do it in a respectful way.
Yeah.
Write your invitation on a condom.
But it's so hard to tell because these people are doing a customer service gig.
Yeah, and they're supposed to be pleasant.
And being pleasant to you is part of what they get paid for.
Yeah.
And if they're good at it, then, you know, they keep their job, and you may interpret that as, wow, I think there's something there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's a gray area.
There's not anything there.
More than likely, but what Casey's saying is maybe what if you miss
a
really special thing?
Then I don't normally
follow
do this.
That person home.
I don't normally do this.
Well, you know what? Here you go. Yeah. Let me go to James, who wanted to touch on that very thing. Okay. Hey, James, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, Preston. How you doing?
Good. What's up, man?
Hey, man. Yeah, my sisters used to work, and both of them worked at the bank through the drive-thru.
Yep.
And the same thing, clowns would come through there and see them and then drive all the way around the block, wait in line, give them their number. And my sisters are single, so every once in a while, if they liked them, they would, invite them over and take them out on a date or whatever.
She's great. When they showed up, did you come to the door?
Oh, yeah, to see.
Is this James Brown?
Wow, man.
Hey, James, how are you? This is James Brown, the godfather of Soil.
Soil?
Oh, yes.
Dude, so.
That's right.
So they come by the house all the time?
No, they would only the ones that, like, if they were going to go out on a date, that when they would show up, I'd be standing at the door like, it ain't happening, man. You don't pick my sisters up. They're classier than that. These guys would look at me like, where the hell did you come from?
Right.
The godfather of Soil. We love him.
James,
we love
the man.
I love you guys, man. Thanks a lot. I just thought it was cool, man, them stories.
Thanks, man.
That's wild.
But you know what? I used to be a meat cutter for Acme back in the day. And when you're talking about the grocery store, that is the place, man.
Yeah, man. Wow. I'm telling you. All right. Thanks, James.
It's weird.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you. It's weird where that stuff can be brokered. Though, I met my wife was an intern at the radio station I was working at, mm-hmm. you know, and I met her there, and that's, but I mean, you do, I understand what you say. You have to have yourself open to the.
Well, I met my wife on a chance encounter. I mean,
on
it was
a street.
On a street. Mm-hmm. She was in a car and I was standing on the. Corner.
She pulled up and said, "How much?
How much?"
Casey was saying, "You want a date?" He's turning tricks.
No, it was for the
old news.
Old Newsboys Day. Yeah.
But you know, so that was an opportunity that presented itself. I didn't know it was going to end up with a marriage and three kids. But yeah, it's
amazing.
Wife.
Yeah.
So I saw this girl in Cape May on Saturday
at the peanut butter place.
I it was after I went to the peanut butter place.
Okay,
but I was walking around the corner
we'll
from
come
Congress
back to
Hall.
That.
Okay.
Go ahead.
And I saw this girl, and then I
look
turned
at the
away.
Sneakers on this chick,
and she was just stunning. So yeah. I kind of had to do a double take, and as I did my double take, I said to myself, "Oh my God, she's beautiful, right?"
Yeah.
I didn't say it that loud. I said it about that loud, and she looked at me at the same time, and then she smiled at me. I was like, oh, hey, you know, so I went over. No, I didn't. I just walked away. But
put your hands on her chest.
I did not. No. But, you know, if I was in a different situation, not married.
You would have pursued?
Well, actually, no. She was way out of my league.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, so maybe I just would have gone home and done something to myself.
I just want you to know, I'm going to take this image of you home now and spank it hard. Well, that is just the loveliest thing I've ever heard.
No,
I mean, like, vigorous, like I'm playing handball.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to actually put a sweatband on. That's how hard I'm going to be throttling myself. I just want you to know that because it's very special.
Yeah, and this moment right
this
here
moment,
is what I will have in mind.
And if I didn't let you know how I'm going to brutalize my own manhood thinking of you.
Twice.
In fact, my manhood is probably going to go to a crisis counselor by the end of the day.
Have a good holiday
because
weekend.
Of what I've done. Anyway, do you like peanut butter?
Okay.
So,
what's the peanut butter place?
Cape May Peanut Butter Company. It's all like homemade peanut butter. I will get you some, Preston. Do you want honey roasted or do you want butterscotch peanut butter? Because those are the two best. Yeah, I know.
Remember we had somebody send us all that peanut butter. Was it them?
No.
No?
Yep. It was peanut butter and things.
Carry on.
No, but I'm interested.
Okay.
I'll check that out. Do we have to break or can I
take... We got a break.
Can I take one more call?
One more call.
One more.
All right, let me go to, because it's interesting. Tria, is that your name?
Priya.
Hi, Priya.
Hi.
Okay, what did you want to share with us on people that, you know, fire on you at work, that hit on you?
So, surprisingly... enough. I'd say the place I got hit on the most was when I worked at a daycare.
Daycare.
So
the dads.
So did that
married? Married?
Oh, yeah.
Married?
Oh yeah, they were married.
That must have really been disheartening. Did you get it a lot?
Yeah, I mean, all the girls did.
Okay.
I was in high school at the time, so it was kind of inappropriate.
How effing shoddy to. You're there. It's with your kid.
Yeah.
And you're trying to get. Oh my God,
Priya, was it more blatant than flirting? Did any of them ask anybody out?
One of them actually. So there was an instance where one of the girls was mopping her classroom and got a little bit of the water on her pants, and one of the dads asked her if that was because she was excited to see him.
Oh my God. So that worked,
that's
right?
That's how inappropriate it got, yeah.
Hey, you're probably all wet because of me, right? Oh, my God. This is the man of my dreams.
Stop that.
You're sopping wet because you knew I was coming, right? Tell you what, why don't you lock the door, let the kids fend for themselves, and we'll go out and get some corn dogs. Hey, you like peanut butter?
Corn dogs. Oh, my gosh.
And everything ends with peanut butter. Yeah. Oh my God.
She's just, her knees are going to buckle at that approach.
Boy, you're clearly soaking wet right now. It's because I showed up to pick up my twins.
Someone's going all swamp on me.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. Well, this bar, I thought it was interesting that that they have had it with people hitting on their bartender all the time, and they put out a chart that basically says, why is our cashier being nice to you? Because it's her effing job, you cretin. That's why.
So, and also, just there's just regular common civility dictates that just, you know, there is an appropriate time for stuff like that. And, or at least an appropriate manner in which to do that.
Yep, exactly. All right, anyhow, we will be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Listen to all the WMMR podcasts as well as a live stream on your Alexa-enabled device. Just say, Alexa, open MMR.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I'm going to lead the introduction with our next guest with a quote from Rocky Balboa. Man, you look good for an older guy.
Ladies and gentlemen, Carl Weathers.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. Preston.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for that, I think, kind summation of what's going on here.
You look damn good.
Look at this. Now Steve's going to jump in on it.
No, are we correct? Are you coming up on 70?
Oh, jeez, man. Why did you have to go there?
Because it defies logic.
Yes.
I would not. Man. You look really good.
You look good.
Yeah,
look
I don't good. I don't go that way, but I just might.
Hey, man, you know what? Whatever happens, happens, okay? I may not be included, but you're okay. You're okay with me. Hey, I just have to give props to Kathy because, let me tell you something. Kids, don't try that at home. That's a professional that you heard, okay?
Traffic.
I marvel at people who can do that and just make it sound so sexy. I mean, come on. How do you do the weather and make it sound sexy? Oh, Weathers. That's what it was. I get it now. It's a
weather.
Player. Weathers. Now I understand why sexy was in Kathy's voice. All right. Okay, now that I've gone there, let's get back to reality.
Man, we've been wanting to meet you for a long time. This is a really special treat for us.
Thank you so much.
Morning.
Great to be back in the city of brotherly love.
You are a Philadelphian. Regardless, you will always be an honored citizen of this city.
That is one of the nicest things anybody has ever said to me, Steve. Well, I appreciate that.
And it's the truth, because we were talking about this earlier, and obviously you're at the cornerstone of so many pop culture great moments in all of our lives, but the Apollo Creed was essential for Rocky, for that movie. You provided a heart and a performance that was so essential for that all to work. And you know, the counterbalance to it. You weren't a one-dimensional character. And I think it's you, the actor, and the person that you are, that made us really say, this is a good man, too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and that made it more complex.
Well, you know, if you just brought a tear to my eyes, because not only was I pop culture, but I'm an artist. I'm an artist. Thank you, man.
Yeah,
thank you.
It's true.
First of all, I'm appreciative of that, you know, those compliments. I got to say, though, man, I had such a great time in the movies, those Rocky movies and many other movies I've done. But we were very blessed to have such a great cast, you know, and to have such great words for Apollo Creed to say, written by Sylvester Stallone. We had great direction in the first movie, John Avildsen. But in the subsequent movies, Sly was directing, and he is a great director. I maintain this to this day, and he's heard me say this, and he probably would like try to knock me out for saying this. But honestly, as good an actor as he is, I think he's a better director.
I think he's given he's given short shrift for his directing ability.
Absolutely,
and he's really excellent. And we are going to talk about your show Chicago Justice, which I really love.
I hope so.
Incredibly well done. But we might as well dive a little bit into it, because I think there's a funny anecdote to the Rocky story when you were called in to read lines. Can you relay that story?
Because sure.
It's hilarious.
Well, first of all, I was an unknown actor.
Yeah.
So, you know, give you context, right?
You've done some TV.
I've done a lot of TV,
a couple movies.
But, you know, the thing about the movie business, television business, is that there are so many actors that unless you do something that somehow catches fire and that is quote unquote iconic, then you're kind of just, you know, another tool in the box, so to speak, you know, and you get out and you do what you do. It's like in athletics, you know, you're a member of the team, basically. And unless you're one of the marquee players, nobody really, really knows who you are. So there was this movie. There was a script first, and I read the script. My then agent handed me the script. I wasn't supposed to have the script because they weren't giving them out, but got the script, sent it to me. I read it, and jaw dropped.
Yeah.
And the reason my jaw dropped was it was great. And there was this character, this amazing, electrifying character called Apollo Creed. And, you know, a young actor, man, I'm chopping at the bit, waiting for my turn. There's my turn, the greatest character I'm going to ever play. I know, but they don't want to see me. Why? Because I'm nobody. So they were trying to get, you know, boxers who could act and great athletes, people with names. They couldn't get anybody.
Had they entertained, like, Joe Frazier and things like that?
I think it wasn't Joe Frazier in particular, but I do think at the time they were looking for somebody who was a well-known boxer who could do this, right? Ken Norton was the name I heard, and that made sort of sense because Ken was an actor at the time and really sort of stepping into, you know, that world. Anyway, that didn't work out. In fact, here's why it didn't work out. This may be a long story, but the points are.
We love it.
So Ken Norton had been cast in a movie called Drum for Dino De Laurentiis. Mm-hmm. I had gone in to read for that movie, and the guy named Ralph Serpy, who was with Dino and was a producer, saw me when I was walking into the building, and there was a big poster going up the stairs in Beverly Hills of the boxer. I just mentioned his name. Ken Norton.
Yeah.
So there's a big poster, Ken Norton there. And Ralph Serpy was in this lobby, and I'm walking up the stairs to go to the reading, and I saw Ralph look at the poster, look at me, look at the poster, look at me. And I go in, I do the reading. Next thing you know, they're saying, okay, we want you to play the son of Drum, who was going to be Ken Norton. Same time, I go over and read for Rocky. I read, finally get in there and read, and that's a whole nother story. But I get called back. Now, the Rocky script is like reading Hemingway.
Yeah.
The Ken script, the drum script is like reading paperback novel that, you know, my aunt wrote, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, there's a lot of money on the table with the Ken Norton. There's no money on the table with the Rocky.
Right.
I'm going with the Rocky because it's just better material.
Yeah.
Right. So I get that role instead. But how I get the role is a whole nother story. I go in. Finally, I get the chance. It's cattle call, which means there's hundreds of actors. I go in on a Friday evening. There's about 30 or 40 guys out in the lobby waiting to go in for their turn. And it's already like 5:30, my turn to go in. These guys have come in and gone out, come in and gone out. So I finally go in. I'm chomping at the bit. I'm scared.
Yeah.
Young actor. I want the role. I'm nervous. I'm on fire with enthusiasm. All those things combined. The producers, the director, they're all sitting there. Finally, a guy walks in from a doorway that's one of the doorways leading to this office, and he comes in and sits down, and they introduce me to the guy. They say, this is the writer. Okay. So the writer sits down, and I'm standing up. He starts to read the Rocky lines. I read the Apollo lines, and I'm just giving it my all, man. I'm just emoting, right? And at the end of it, there's kind of silence. But then John Avildsen, our director, just kind of starts chuckling a little bit, and the producers are leaning over to each other, whispering, and I can't hear any of it, but I'm getting really nervous because I must have blown this thing.
Right.
Nobody is saying yay. Nobody is saying do it again. Nobody is saying we want you, any of that stuff. So I look down at the writer and think, how can I save this? And I just yelled out, you know, if you guys got me a real actor, I could do a much better job. There is like silence, man. There's crickets, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm trying to figure out now what's going on.
Oh, no.
So finally, John Adelson just starts laughing. And I don't know what I've done, but I realize later that the writer... Yeah. is Sylvester Stallone, who's going to be the star of the movie. Well, foot in mouth for a young actor, right? But Sly has said a number of times that the reason I got the job, really, was because I was so arrogant.
Yes.
You know? Now, for me, that's one way of looking at it. You know, it's kind of like the guy standing on the corner when there's an accident and there's three other people and they all see the same accident but see it different ways.
Right, right.
I saw a whole different deal, man. I saw a guy who was scared to death that he'd blown it, you know? Wow. And I'm trying to get the role. But as it turned out, obviously, things worked out for us all. You know?
That's phenomenal. Yeah. It worked out that way.
The arrogance really plays into some of the comedy of the movie. And there's a scene when you come into the ring and you're pointing and I want you, I want you, I want you. And you got your head to toe in red, white, and blue. And Sly just leans over to Mickey and he goes, he looks like a big flag. And well, every time I see that, it's such a simple funny thing to say, but it's so typical of Rocky, of the character, and it's such a keen observation of your character.
Absolutely. But, you know, it's a funny thing. What I realized a long time ago was that's so Sly.
Yeah.
I mean, he is that way. That's the way he sort of – he sees things in such – he can boil them down into, like, three or four words, and it's the funniest thing you've ever heard. Because for some reason, he has this ability or this uncanny kind of way of looking at the world where that's what he'll come up with. You know, you've got all this pomp and circumstance, and he said, you know, he looks like a big flag. That's just that simple.
It's organic.
Yeah,
it is who he is. Let's give the show Chicago Justice the due praise that it deserves, because when we heard you were coming on a little while ago, I watched an episode and then I was like, oh, okay, I'll watch this. I'm familiar with the Chicago environment, all the different shows, and I loved it. So I bought the whole series on iTunes just to make sure I wouldn't miss an episode.
Steve, could you repeat that? To the audience. I mean, look, there's a word to the wise.
Yeah.
Go out and buy the whole thing. Don't hold back.
It's there's something about compelling legal dramas when done right and one when done fairly, and that's something I want to also give you credit for, taking on issues as the classic rip from today's headlines.
Yeah.
But this show does something that not many others have ever done, which is to really give respectful voices to every party involved, which is very well done. You explain who you are, because you play basically the patriarchal character in this show.
Yeah, he's basically the boss, so to speak. You know, he is the state's attorney in Chicago, and as some people know, in Chicago, in Illinois, in Cook County, the state's attorney is an elected official. He's not an appointed official.
He's a politician.
So, you know, you've got a guy who has to run this office, but he also, at the end of the day, will or will not be elected after his term. So you're kind of between a rock and a hard place. A guy who is, on one hand, doing his best to do what's right by the law and by the citizens of Illinois, by the citizens of Cook County and Chicago. But at the same time, a guy who's looking out, you know, sort of over his shoulder saying, how is this going to fare when I have to go to the polls again?
So when he makes a risky decision, he knows it could impact his
absolutely
career.
But what I love, what our writers do is they really, to your point, they really work to present all sides. So it's not kind of always good versus evil.
Yeah.
You know, there's nuance on both sides. And in our offices, there are these conversations / arguments / disagreements at time that Jeffries and Stone, Peter Stone, who is the lead prosecutor, will have. And one is that Jeffries knows what's right and wants to do what's right. At the same time, sometimes Peter Stone is so zealous about what he's after that Mark Jeffries has to sort of rein him in, or try to rein him in.
It's like, I can help you get this done, but this is the way you're going to have to get this done.
That's right.
And it may not be clean the way you'd like it to be.
And this may not impact your career the way it may impact mine.
Right.
So walk, you know, it's like, prod gently. Be careful where you step here, because whatever's on your shoe, you're going to have to bring back into my office, you know. So it's really wonderful. But we've got an entirely great cast. And again, as our writers just every week just manage to tell wonderful stories. And of course, we have, you know, the great Dick Wolf, who is...
He's no piker.
You know, when I grow up, I think I want to be Dick Wolf.
Hey, Carl, I have a question about two different characters you played in two different types of movies, but they have a similarity. And I'm talking about Dylan in Predator and then Chubbs in Happy Gilmore. I don't know if anybody
made... Oh, I love it. They have similarities. Okay.
Well, they do.
I know where you're going.
So then I don't even have to go there.
That's right. Damn alligator bit my hand off.
Oh, so the alligator bit your damn right hand off, and the Predator shot your right arm off.
Was
that done on purpose by... By Adam Sandler?
That's a good question. I never asked Adam that. You know, I really never did. But I seem to have this propensity for losing my appendages.
Did you get to keep any of the props? Did you get to keep...
Man, what a fool I am, because I didn't. Neither of those movies. Well, that's not true, because from Predator, the only thing I have is this beautiful knife that was forged. We all had these knives that were made by this great knife maker. And I don't remember his name right now, but it's beautiful, right? So no, I didn't keep the arm I wish I had, and no, I didn't keep the damned hand that the damned alligator bit off.
I'll tell you what, that Predator arm, if you were to hold that up just without me knowing, I would have said, yep, that's Carl Weathers' arm.
It looked pretty real, didn't it? Well, you know, they took the mold of the arm, man. My guns had to, you know, like, stand out, and all the sinew and these muscles had to stand out while the gun's pumping while it's in my hand and arms jumping up and down, you know.
Ugh. Did I hear correctly that with all that testosterone on the set that you guys, it would be a race to the gym in the morning? Because you had the most jacked cast with you way up in the top tier there, dude.
Thank you very much. Yeah, you know, come on, Mr. Universe, who the heck is Mr. Universe? I was the best-looking man on that. No question.
Dude, that handshake between you and Arnold when you first see each other.
It is classic, isn't it? It is classic.
Man and man. And
by the way, I have coined that the man shake.
Yes!
That is not a handshake. Right. That is a man shake.
That sucker still holds up, Predator, man. It is still
It is absolutely... Absolutely, one of those movies that when the TV's on, if you are flipping channels and you come to Predator, you just got to stop, man. Yeah.
And
you've got to stop.
And you are so engaging. Was that shot? Was it shot in South America? Or was it shot lot?
No, actually, it was all shot in Mexico.
Oh, okay.
And we shot the vast majority of that movie in Puerto Vallarta, in the jungles around Puerto Vallarta. So we're, first of all, in the day, we're in the jungle all day with the dust and the bugs and the heat and, I mean, you know, and smelly guys.
Yeah.
And I was one of them, I have to admit. You know, no makeup, no nothing, just sweat and smell, you know, that's all. And in the evening, you know, everybody's all dressed up and we're back in Puerto Vallarta, man, enjoying, you know, whatever we're drinking and the seaside and all that sort of stuff. But here's one of the crazy things about that. The great Bill Duke, who people love. I mean, Bill's been in so many movies and is a great director in his own right as well. Bill Duke was, I mean, there's all those guys were bent, man, except me. Steve, I was the only sane guy in that group, okay?
They're
all bent. They're all crazy, including Shane Black, who is now doing another Predator and wrote it and is going to direct it and cast it.
Shane Black, by the way, wrote Lethal Weapon.
Which was one of the greatest movies ever in my mind.
It's in my top 10, definitely.
Let me tell you, man. So, come back in the evening, everybody clean up. We go out, have dinner, do whatever, get ready for the next morning. Everybody is in tropical kind of clothing.
Right.
Bill Duke, 3-piece suit and tie every night, man. Impeccably dressed always.
What was the temperature?
Oh, my God. It's at least in the high 80s and in the 90s every day. Right? But you got to look at a guy who's in a suit every day and say, this guy's crazy. This guy's out of his mind. And he's one of my best friends to this day, but he is crazy and out of his mind.
What was his big line in the, I'm going to have a super bowl.
Oh, yeah, there was that one. I'm going to bleed you here. Oh, man. Duke has some great lines.
You're ghosting us, mother effer.
You're ghosting us. You know, he's such a great guy and such a sweet guy. But, you know, we were just very fortunate, man. A great group of guys to hang out with for, you know, a couple months down in the jungle.
Carl, I have to ask, in the scene, and it's one that I just, it's as macho and as adrenaline rush as you could possibly have, when you guys all open up and start shooting blind, was that live ammo? What were they using? How did they achieve
no,
that?
No, there were those crazy guys, live ammo, might have all been out of here. You know, that might have been a checkout for everybody. No, you know, first of all, our guys who did all special effects did a great job of rigging that whole area there with explosives to just mow down. I mean, that's, you know, you give away the stuff, that's the stuff.
Ugh.
But we had to do that like two or three times. And that big gun that Duke is holding, that thing, that was a real, you know, helicopter mounted 50 cal gun.
Yeah.
That thing, man, it weighs a ton.
Yeah.
And to hold that, just to really hold that while you're firing those rounds, even though they were blanks, there's some kick to that thing, and it's just a machine. It's a monster.
Crazy.
You know? So for all of us, it was just fantastic. But the look on Bill's face while he's doing that, we all stop, and the machine's still going. You know, he's still firing, and you just see those eyes, and he's breathing at the end. I think, okay, here we go, folks.
Hey, Carl, have you ever been to a sporting event in Philadelphia where they've done Rocky montages during the sporting event itself?
No, I haven't.
It's amusing, and it gets you going, you know. But the scene that comes to mind is when you and Rocky are running on the beach, and then you end up hugging one another.
Yes.
Because it's sort of comical at this point.
There are a lot of people who look at that and think, these two guys like each other. They really like each other.
But you guys are in such phenomenal shape at that point, too, you know. So it's like, it's one of those things where you can't help but... a little.
Well, you know, the thing about it is, I think somebody asked me a question about, you know, whether Rocky was, I think it was your competition or one of your competitors, and it was Eisen, you know, and he was asking about, you know, what people think of that show. And his thought was that it's really not a sports movie. It's a love story.
Yeah.
And I think there is a lot of truth in that. And I say it's actually both. Because it's set so well and rooted so well in this role, in this world of sport and in boxing in particular. But what makes the thing about sports, in a way, all about love, is that it's not romantic love, but it really is about men loving competition and loving the competitor because of what you go through to be at the top of your game. You know, it's like in any profession. If you love the profession, you love the people in it who are the people you admire and that are best and at the top of their game.
Well, it's absolutely the truth. We were able to talk to Rodney McLeod of the Eagles right before you.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, we were just having a conversation. And I was talking about because he's playing against his former team this season and you know, how he wants to bring it. And he wants to compete against the people that he used to play with. And he wants to do his best against, you know, his quote-unquote friends.
Yeah.
And then I had told him about a hit that happened in Eagles history. Keith Byers laid out Pepper Johnson. And the thing that made that hit even, like, the best was that Pepper Johnson and Keith Byers were roommates in college. And so when Keith Byers had this opportunity to lay out one of his best friends, he didn't stop. I mean, he just went full force. And I think, you know, everybody appreciates that, even Pepper Johnson.
Yeah, man, you have to. You know, when I was a rookie with the Raiders, one of my roommates, well, I had two roommates that made it. One was Ray Chester, who was a number one, who was a great tight end. And the other was Jerry Irons, who was a linebacker like I was, right? Now, I was a free agent. Both those guys were drafted, 1 and 3. And we, of course, Chester and I, or Chester and Jerry Irons, would have to go at it because we were linebackers. He was a tight end. Well, man, every day you're trying to take that guy's head off and you're trying to best that guy because that guy is at the top of his game. And if you don't, something's wrong with you, you know?
They say iron sharpens iron, right?
Absolutely, man. So, you know, there's a tremendous love when a guy bests you in a way. Now you got something you got to bring the next time because guess what? You ain't going to let it happen again.
How much did sports, and you were always very athletic. I think I was looking at some of the stuff you just even in high school, you were doing just everything.
Yeah.
How much did sports help set you up and prepare you for the process of becoming an actor?
Oh, man. And so it's prepared me for life.
Yeah.
You know, in my mind, and maybe others feel differently about it, but there's something about teamwork. Number one, to be on a team, you learn something about that from a very early age. What it takes, what your job is on that team, how to be your best at your job, how not to let others down because you have responsibilities, you know, you have assignments on that team. And also taking pride in being the best at what you do, doing your best and being and dedicating that to the team as well. So there's that, and there's this discipline factor that you learn as you go through that, you know? You take it into everything that I do, into everything I do. The difference is when you play sports, it not only is appreciated, it's expected of you. People can be intimidated about that in the arts.
Oh, really?
They really can be. Huh. Because you have to be aggressive in sports. And I remember having someone say once, about someone else, oh, but he's so aggressive. Mm. Well, wait a minute, man. You think people give out awards because this isn't competition?
Mm. Yeah.
Come on. If it wasn't competition, there would be no award. Mm-hmm. You're always saying this one is the best this of the year, and this one is the best that, the best in sports casting, the best in comedy, the best. It's all about being competitive. Doesn't mean that you are trying to hurt anybody else. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people are afraid of that who have never been involved in sports on that level, that elite level.
People try to tamp down that.
Yeah, man, they're afraid of it.
Everyone gets, it's okay to recognize the one who is the champion.
Yes.
And if it gives you something to aspire to, that's good as well.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And you know what? Speaking of the best, I mean, I think a lot of people would agree that during the 80s, Tom Selleck had the best mustache, but I think you give him a run for
it. Oh, wait a minute now. Wait a minute. I gave him a run for it in his 80s. Tom. I know Tom's reputation, not only as an actor, but as an actor with a mustache. Yes, it sets him apart. I got to give him props for it, because that's a bush, man. That's a bush.
Okay? Yours is the most rocking.
Yes, yes.
Nick had mentioned comedy in the Rocky movie, but you have fallen into the Adam Sandler camp and have distinguished yourself. Yeah. Who would have known Carl Weathers is hilarious? And there you are. Are you in the new Netflix film that he did?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Adam didn't ask me.
Wow.
I am furious.
Okay.
Furious, okay? Because I wasn't... what was it? The Furious 6 or the Furious 7?
Oh, Ridiculous 6.
Ridiculous 6. Yeah. He didn't ask me to be in that.
Something's
and
up.
Now with this new thing where he plays, what is it, Sandy...
Wexler.
Sandy Wexler. Yeah. He didn't ask me to be in that.
Something's up.
I'm going to be hunting for Adam Sandler. I'm going to be stalking him. Nah, you know what? He's got some really funny people in it. I actually saw it last week for the first time. And, you know, Adam, as always, comes up with the craziest characters. You know, like he did in what was that crazy thing after Happy Gilmore?
Little Nicky? Played,
Little Nicky.
Yeah.
Where he played the devil. I'm reprised as Chubbs. But, you know.
Adam, we did twice in that game.
The whole yikes, man. But people laugh.
Yeah.
They keep showing up.
Speaking of voices, we have a number of texts that are coming in this morning about your delivery, the projection of your voice and your cadence and everything. You've got to do voiceover work as well.
I have done some voiceover work. Yes. You want me to go into my radio voice?
Yes.
Or I can do my FM voice. in the morning. That late night voice, you know?
I hear you is, you know, because Ving Rhames does the those Arby's commercials.
Yes, he does. We have the beef.
Yes.
Yeah, Ving.
That's perfect for you.
Hey, man, Ving is making bank. I give him props.
Can I hear you do a station ID? Hey, this is Carl Weathers, and you're listening to Preston and Steve.
Hey, this is Carl Weathers, and you're listening to Preston and Steve.
Yeah.
Look at that.
We just
come on, man.
One take.
And I was going to about to say the same thing. Nick knows. One take, baby. By the way, that's the first time ever one take, okay? Just so you know.
Hey, how did you get involved with Arrested Development?
Well, I got this call from my agent at the time who told me about Arrested Development, wanting me on the show. And I'd seen the show, and I thought it was really funny. But, man, how could I keep up with those guys? Those guys are funny people, you know, and the show, so quirky and so different, right? And Mitch does such a great job with the writing, and guys like David Cross, man, I'm going, I'm in the wrong place with these guys. Very twisted. David is very twisted. So they told me what they wanted to do. I agreed to call in. I spoke with Mitch, told me what they wanted to do, and it just... I didn't want to reprise something I'd kind of done already.
Yeah.
And so he asked me, well, okay, what would you like to do? And I knew a guy who was very frugal, let's say it. And I thought, Mitch, you know what? Why don't I play the cheapest guy in the world?
Yeah.
You know? And I pitched this idea to him, and he loved the idea. He said, yeah, I like that. Let's do it. So he wrote this character, you know, where a guy would go into any place and always try to get something for nothing. He's always, if he sits at a bar, he's going to try to get on your tab, you know? And hence, there was Carl Weathers as the cheapest guy in the world with David Cross trying to, once David sort of, you know, puts the idea out that he loves acting lessons, the first response Carl Weathers would have was, how much do you have in your bank account? David says, $980. That's exactly what I charge. So it was just a fantastic, fantastic character. And we had, you know, baby, you got a stew going, you know? And then that crazy story about going to being on a set and doing a movie of the week with Ann Archer. And, you know, the thing I would do is I go to my, you know, I go to craft service and I get some ham, some veggies. I take it home with me. You know, baby, I got a stew going. And I save my per diem, you know? So the character's so crazy.
That's very funny. I have to ask you, because we were talking about all the stuff that you've been in, when people call out a line to you and you have a lot of quotable lines from your various movies, what do you hear the most?
Wow, man. You know what it depends on, Steve? It depends on demographic.
Okay.
It's so interesting because there is a demographic for Happy Gilmore,
yeah,
for Arrested Development. There's a kind of a wide range, obviously, for Rocky and for Predator.
Yeah.
And then there's this whole sort of group for Action Jackson, you know?
Love Action Jackson.
Yeah, you know, how do you like your ribs from Action Jackson, you know? I'm going, man, you guys remember some of the roughest stuff, you know? Because what's he got? He's got a torch on a guy, and he's going to blow the guy up with the torch, you know?
Isn't Action Jackson also the movie they're watching in Step Brothers?
Is that what it is?
Are they really?
I think so.
It might be. I don't remember.
Yeah, yeah.
I think
but
so.
You know what? That's props.
Yeah.
Coming
yeah.
from those guys.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That is props. Yeah.
So you get a lot from Action Jackson.
Oh, yeah. 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 From all those movies, you know? But even way back in the day, you know, when you look at something like Force 10 from Navarone with that great group of actors, you know, Harrison Ford and Edward Fox and I mean, my God, it's just kind of
Robert Shaw
from Jaws.
Yeah, yeah, Quint.
It's just kind of crazy, man. Barbara Bach, Richard wow. Kiel, you know, from Jaws,
yeah, Jaws.
From the Bond 007. Movie. Yeah,
yeah.
So people remember those. I mean,
what a career! I mean, it's a wonderful thing. You go back to some of my favorite iconic TV shows too. You were on a guest star on Kung Fu, right?
Oh, Kung Fu, $6 Million Man, Starsky and Hutch. Streets of San Francisco, jeez. Barnaby Jones, Delvecchio, SWAT, Switch. Yeah. I mean, it goes on. Good Times. I mean, man,
one of your first credits I see here was in Magnum Force.
Magnum Force, absolutely. Yeah. In fact, Magnum Force might have been the first movie I was ever involved in, because I lived in San Francisco. Yeah. I was playing with the Raiders at the time, and really still looking for the opportunity to become an actor, because I was a theater major, you know, to become a professional actor.
Were you at the range? Are you what's your character in Magnum Force?
It's like a demonstrator. Or something.
Yeah, I was a demonstrator. Yeah. You know, crazy thing, because back then I was given lines and went and auditioned for them. Right, true story. And so I go home, I learn these lines, man. I come in on the day, and I'm just, this is like my first role, professional role, right? And it's a scene, and I think I'm going to be interviewed by somebody about this demonstration. So I get to the set, and I'm kind of nervous, because this is my first one, baby.
Sure.
But I'm ready, man, I'm ready. Get there, and I think the director was Ted Kotcheff. I can't remember for sure, but I think it was. Who directed First Blood.
Wow.
You know, great director. So anyway, I'm hoping I'm right on that. But anyway, I get there. There's like five guys with the same lines. And they look around, and there's a guy who really looks like he just walked off a set of construction.
Yeah.
You.
Yeah.
That guy gets the lines. Now, I got paid.
Yeah.
But I was shocked.
Yeah.
That was my first introduction to Hollywood. Oh, this is how sucks. It goes, baby. Yeah. Get ready, but it might not be you. But you know what? Hey, from there, it just, you know, fortunately, I wanted to stay at it, and I wanted to make it work, and here we are.
Here you are, it's regular fantastic. Regular gig, and you know, the show is doing well. And I want to point out to people, if you haven't seen it yet, it's on Sunday nights on NBC 10 at 9 o'clock, and it's a Chicago Justice. So, listen, we are just absolutely elated that you came by here today. We love you. We love your work. And as Steve had said so eloquently, you're a member of this city, this community, you know, just because of the relationship and with the Rocky films and what it means to this city and everything. So we're just really happy that you're here.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, man. Yeah.
I'm always, you know, every time I come here, there's so much hospitality. People really kind of open their arms. And of course, if Apollo Creed's walking down the street, you're going to get a little attention.
Yeah, man.
Just a little bit, you know. So, you know, I mean, you know, props to Sly for taking us home with running up those steps, man. If it, you know, there's running up those steps kind of like sets the tone for everything when it comes to Rocky, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, running through the district there and seeing all the folks who are selling their goods in the morning, you know, from soup to nuts, man, having them turn around and watch Rocky and cheer him on. So we're really all very fortunate that this city embraced not only the movie, but embraced the concept of the winner, and the guy from, you know, kind of underdog who makes it, man. And for all of us, you know, all of us, anybody who's ever been or felt like an underdog, Rocky is kind of our anthem.
Yes,
you know? So we thank you here Wonderful. In Philadelphia.
Chicago Justice, Sunday, NBC 10, 9 o'clock, Carl Weathers. Yeah! Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Pleasure to meet you. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
MMR and Live Nation are happy to announce the live performance drought is finally over. It's the Live In at the Drive-In concert series. A month of shows in the Phillies parking lot you'll experience from your car.
93.3 WMMR and Brent Smith and Zach Myers from Shinedown invite you to rock Live In Your Ride Thursday, September 3rd.
Get up, get a move on.
See the full schedule at WMMR.com. The Live In at the Drive-In Concert Series, a socially awesome solution to a performanceless pandemic.
Featuring Shinedown's Smith and Myers and many more.
Tickets on sale now at LiveNation.com from 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
It has been toasty the last few days. Today is the hottest that it is going to be so far this summer. We're looking at 97 degrees, high humidity.
Heat index?
I headed out this morning. It was already 78 degrees. That was at 4 o'clock in the morning. I got in the car and it was 78 degrees already.
It is... Yes, at that early in the morning, you walk out, it feels like you're walking into a fart.
Mm. Yes, it's a lot like that. So, yeah, it's going to feel like it's 105 degrees today. People working outside know what a pain in the ass this can be. So we wanted to do something to represent how I think we all feel if we have to be outside, and that is to just basically get naked. So, you know, when it gets toasty, you strip your clothes, you feel a little bit better. So we're going to do something that kind of represents that. And also, we're going to need your help. Those who are commuters this morning who happen to be driving in very specific areas can do it. We haven't done this in a long, long time. It's time for strip honking this morning, ladies and gentlemen. And it's going to feature two wonderful ladies associated with the Preston and Steve Show. The first, we just met a little while ago. We've met her before, but we just found out she is Philly's hottest lingerie girl. Yes, congratulations to the amazing Royale. So we're actually going to go on location where she is, and I'm going to give the locations in a moment. First, I want to find out where the ladies are. But, you know what, even before I do that, let me explain the concept.
Sure, please.
We have two beautiful ladies. They're in two separate locations. They are standing on top of MMR vehicles in public view. Now, what we want to happen is the people that are driving by and seeing these ladies to honk their horn if you want them to remove a piece of clothing. And for every honk we get, there's a piece of clothing that's removed. Each girl has 10 items on.
Yes.
The first one to get all the way down to a bikini will be deemed our winner. We're also going to need some callers on the line, and we're going to pair you up with these ladies. Now, depending on how quickly this goes, we might be able to roll through this a couple of times.
You never know. You know, the luck of the draw here. But we have them. Both sides of this thoroughfare are well represented.
Yeah, and I'm not going to give the location until we're ready to go, because I don't want the honking to start ahead of time. So
you don't want pre-honking.
And
one
location number one, like I said, we have Royale. Now, we need these ladies are going to be busy taking their clothes off, so they can't be on the phone. And we're also streaming this online and have this on Facebook Live. We have one location online and one on Facebook.
So get all your screens running.
Yeah, please do so. And let me see if we've got Connor from our intern department. He's a production assistant. Connor, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, and...
Yes.
We can hear you just fine, Connor. So you're going to be giving us the rundown of what's going on with Royale this morning, correct?
Yes.
All right. And I'm going to find out where the location is. I'm going to reveal the location in a moment or two. But is indeed Royale standing on top of one of the vehicles? And if so, please describe.
Yes, she is. She's dancing. She's flapping shirt, kind of like a bird. She stops. She's waving to all the bikers that ride by.
Okay.
Okay.
We already had three honks already.
So, just random honks.
And yes. There you go. Yeah. All right. So what is she wearing, by the way, Connor?
She's wearing short jean shorts, very high, and a nice red and black flannel, kind of like how Andre wore.
Yes.
And
yeah.
A Batman hat.
A Batman hat.
And even a scarf. So she's kind of dressed like Andre.
Yeah, we wanted to make sure. Andre's a former intern of ours. So, by the way, we wanted to make sure that she had 10 items of clothing on. So the scarf, the sunglasses, the hat, the shirt, the pants, all that stuff. What, Casey?
I just need to move your hands.
Okay, so the all of that stuff is each counts as
one item.
An item of clothing. So you guys are there. Hang on just a second. I'm now going to conference in the birthday boy, Nick McElwain. Nick, are you there?
Yeah, man, how you doing?
Wonderful. So, Nick, we have a special gal who is in your area, and it's the amazing veteran of the Totally Office Calendar, 2 times cover girl, the amazing Morgan.
Yeah.
Is in the other location.
We do indeed. We just crowned Royale, Philly's Hottest Lingerie Girl, and Morgan a few years back won Philly's Hottest Hand Bra. And was on the cover of the 2016 calendar, right? 2015?
Yeah. 2015, yeah. I think, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we are in a location as well, Preston, that I'm sure you'll reveal shortly. And Steve, yeah, it's already high out here. It's steaming. It is not pleasant.
All right, well, then this is why we're doing this at this perfect time. It's not totally oppressive. We're not going to have a heat stroke. We might have a couple of just genuine strokes generated by this. But otherwise, I think we should be fine. So we'll get everything in gear.
Nick, what's Morgan wearing?
Morgan is actually really similarly dressed to Royale. She has a hat on, a fresh hat. She's got a black top shirt. She's got flannel, sort of like a GNR shirt, Axl Rose type of flannel shirt around her waist.
Perfect.
She's got jean shorts on, and she's got her chucks on as well.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give a 3-2-1 countdown. I'm going to have both you and Connor count down with me so that the girls can hear. And at that point, we're going to ask people who are driving by to honk their horn, honk only one time. And Nick and Connor, you guys are going to have to listen. And when you hear a honk, you're going to have to yell out the number, okay?
Yes.
So if there's one, there's two, so on and so forth. Now, if you hear multiple honks from one car, you're going to have to do your best to just let that go. One honk per car.
It's not an exact science.
And what we're going to do is we're going to have on the phone lines, listener Eddie is going to play with Royale, and listener Sue is going to play with Morgan. And we'll have a great prize that Casey's going to dig up for me here in just a second that we will associate with that. And by the way, we have Royale is on our webcam, and Morgan is on Facebook Live.
All right.
All right, so let me give the locations to everybody listening. They're standing on top of an MMR vehicle. We have Royale on Kelly Drive, and we have Morgan on West River Drive. They're straddling the Schuylkill this morning.
Which is an amazing sight.
And I'm wondering, can you guys see each other, Nick? Can you see Connor across the river?
No, but I can see people rowing out on the river. We're on the West River, Martin Luther King Drive. We're not that far from the radio station in Valley Kenwood. So if you're on the way into the city, we are on the left-hand side. If you're coming away from the city towards Valley Kenwood and the burbs, we are on the right-hand side.
All right. And then, Connor, where about on Kelly Drive are you guys?
We are located by the grandstand.
Okay.
By the river.
Yep, I know exactly what you're talking about. So I see Morgan now. We're looking at Facebook Live, and she's standing on top of the MMR vehicle. So are you guys ready to go?
Let's do this, because right. I think a Royale is biting at the bit.
All right, so Connor and Nick, count with me. Here we go, beginning in three, two, one.
One.
And here we go. All right, so the horn honking starts now. I'm going to bring the music down. And remember, guys, call out when you hear a honk, and I will do my best to keep track down here. The first one who gets all the way down to a bikini. We have a honk? That's all right, so that's one. All right, one over there for Royale. How many so far, Connor?
One.
All right, one so far. So that means a piece of clothing comes off. So Royale is going to take that off. First one to get down to their bikini. Her hat is off. First one to get down to the bikini is going to be deemed the winner. So Eddie is playing with Royale. and Morgan is playing with Sue.
All the bikers that are coming by are waving.
I love it. That's good. If only you had a...
Two honks by a motorcycle. Scarf is coming off.
Okay, right. Scarf is coming
off.
Nick, have you had any over...
Another honk. Three honks.
Three honks.
We are at zero on West River Drive.
Oh, come on, West River Drive.
Kelly Drive. Another honk,
there's
Connor?
Another one. Number that was over... Honks. Kelly Drive. What's that? How many so far, Connor?
Four.
All right, four honks.
Oh,
all right.
We got one.
We got one.
All
right.
West River.
You never know. This could pick up
five.
Very...
We have five now.
All right, five. Two. So the closer...
Two. Are off.
Two all right, there's two. Two for Morgan. We're watching the video as well. And Royale is dancing her heart out.
Loving it.
On top of the MMR
three.
Vehicle. All right, three. There's three. Morgan has three.
Steve, I think if you believe in the message of Martin Luther King Jr., you would believe in strip honking.
I believe you are right.
We haven't chose that location by accident.
No. No. It's a tribute to history.
Yes.
I have a dream.
So 5-3
oh
right,
my gosh.
Right now. Royale is leading by two, but it's not too late.
She's putting on a show.
Yes, she is. she's just Christ. Hoping somebody honks at some point just driving by. But if you're a Preston Steve Show listener and you happen to be driving in these areas, make sure that you swing by and take a look and vote for the one.
We're all currently right. Still at 5 for Royale and 3 for Morgan.
That is correct. Strip honking is what's happening. And we're doing this as a symbolic stripping of the clothes because it's so hot out. And we all want to do this. But, of course, some of us can't because it would be really embarrassing and nauseating. That's why we've chosen Beautiful Ladies. Our Philly's hottest lingerie winner, Royale, currently leading five. Over Morgan, a veteran of the Totally Office calendar. And
Morgan,
there's four.
Oh, my God, right. Someone's tied up.
Morgan has four. Royale
she's dancing
has
around
five.
Now too.
Is she dancing?
Yes, there we go. That's see, yes, Royale is absolutely selling, and she's dancing. Ooh. How many more? Another one?
Well, no, I just Morgan is down to her pressing his seat. We got 6 and 7.
Six and seven. All right,
wow.
For Royale. Three more
five.
In the instruments.
Five.
Five for Morgan.
Uh-oh.
It's getting close, and Royale just took her top off. So,
eight.
What's that?
Eight for Royale.
Eight.
All right,
uh-oh,
we have eight.
Two more.
Oh, there goes the kid.
Well, fortunately, this is swimwear.
Yeah, it is swimwear.
It's nothing. To...
This is ridiculous.
I think all Royale is all. What's that?
Six on
Morgan's
side.
All right, eight over on Kelly Drive with Royale, and she's pretty much down to a bikini. I guess she's got her socks on, maybe.
Is that what she has on, Connor?
I think that's it.
I'm trying to see. She's got both socks off.
Both socks off.
Took both off by accident.
She knows that she stops at the bikini, right?
Yeah. You know you stop at the bikini, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No. Started to lift her top. Well, not that we don't want to see that.
What is left to take off then?
I think she took the socks off by accident when
okay.
She took her shoes off.
Oh,
so.
All right.
So she technically needs
two more honks. All right, two more honks.
She's all the way down, but two more honks and she will win. So remember, if you're driving by on West River Drive or Kelly Drive.
Seven.
Seven for Morgan.
She's one behind Royale.
Top is off for Morgan.
All right. One behind Royale. It is now 7-8. Oh, it is neck and neck. Boob and boob. Butt and butt. We're getting close here, and we just need a couple of more honks, and we got ourselves winners. The phone lines are, we have our listeners, Eddie, who is playing with Royale, and listener Sue, who is playing with Morgan.
We're tied up.
Eight all.
I think it's those Preston and Steve booty shorts. Morgan looks good in them.
Yeah, she does.
Eight all.
All right.
Yeah, the booty shorts are off, Kathy.
All right. Booty shorts are off. Closing on two.
Nine.
Morgan in the lead.
Oh, my gosh. One more, and Morgan wins it.
Nine.
What's
nine
that?
Nine for Royale. Tied. 9-9.
All right. Next hook wins.
Oh, who's it going to be?
Never in the course of human history.
We got a winner. Royale. Whip cheese. All right.
Royale.
Was so close. Royale is our official winner, and she is doing our winner's dance right now on top of the MMR vehicle as more people are coming by. And that means that Eddie on the phone line gets the package that we have.
Oh, Morgan just got the news. She's pissed.
Yeah.
It was neck and neck, though. She did a great job.
It was less than 10 seconds afterwards. We got 10 and 11, but Royale got the 10 first.
Yeah. Wow. I have to say these ladies look fantastic. I love Morgan's very sexy bikini that she's wearing this morning. Should we have the ladies dress and do it again?
I think so.
What do you think so?
I think we could do it one more time.
Yeah.
All right. So
do it again.
Both Connor.
Morgan fish is down for doing it again.
All right.
We're doing it again. Gotta get
Have those ladies dress. I'm gonna bring you guys down for a moment, and then we'll check back in. It should probably only take about 30 seconds for them to get those clothes
back on.
It's
funny because Royale is so timid.
I know.
So
I'm
shy.
Really proud to see her coming out of her shell
a little bit
this
and
morning.
She's just kind of a hand gesture here and there, a kind of bent completely over.
Oh my God.
When she's by here, man, she'll say stuff that would make Larry Flint blush.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's...
Oh, she told me something before she left.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. She
involved 12 inches of something.
Oh, did it really?
I'm like a hoagie.
Sure.
Yeah, a hoagie.
Right, exactly.
She was hungry.
They've never been cheaper or more delicious.
So if you're just tuning in, we're doing strip honking. So I'm going to erase all these scores because I have a little score sheet.
As do I. We're all keeping
track here.
I have a question for you guys because it got a little bit confusing when they were saying one and two and three and four. Do you want them, when there's a honk, to say the girl's name?
Yes. Actually, I like that idea, Casey. That's better because it was hard to distinguish.
Right.
Yes.
Especially when it was like neck and neck.
And guys, if they're listening online, let the ladies know that when you yell out their name, it's because they received a honk.
Okay.
We're receiving a honk.
Hey. that'll be make it easier to distinguish. I like that, Casey.
Mm-hmm. How close are we to being dressed at this point, guys?
We're ready.
Wow.
Yes.
Fantastic.
All right.
Restart the clock.
Ready, Morgan?
We are beginning once again in Strip Honking Part 2. We're going to have listener Brooke, who's going to be playing with Royale, our current champion. And then Mike, who is playing with Morgan, who is our runner-up. So let's try this again. All right, real quick, gentlemen, count with me, and we'll begin again. It starts in three, two, one, go. All right. Begins now. You can officially honk. Before, you weren't supposed to. Now you can.
By the way, the girls are wearing, like, the same exact thing.
Yeah, just by happens.
Morgan.
Royale.
Morgan.
All right, Royale. All right, so we got one each so far. Remember, driving by, honk.
Hat is off.
They're located, so the hat is off on Royale. What did Morgan take off, Nick?
That flannel thing that she had around her waist. Flannel shirt is the word I was looking for.
All right, 2-1 so far. Royale has two, and Morgan has one.
Sunglasses are off.
Morgan!
Morgan, 2-2. 2-2, and sunglasses have come off of Royale. Morgan is taking something else off now.
Jean shorts are down. Jean shorts are down.
We have jean shorts down.
Sir, we have jean shorts down.
All right, jean shorts are down.
By the way, Royale is on Kelly Drive, and Morgan's on West River Drive. They're just parked off to the side, and they're standing on an MMR vehicle.
By the way, we hope you're enjoying your commute this morning.
Morgan
in the lead, 3-2.
That is correct. So 10 is the winner, by the way. And that'll get you all the way down to a bikini. Morgan is waving at the cars, trying to get a little more attention. And
they're both selling it.
Royale is doing the
international honk motion.
Exactly. So anyhow, if you would like to drive by and take a look at what's going on, or you can watch online if you can't be there live, you can obviously look via our app, and that's through WMMR.com and stream, or you can watch on Facebook Live. She's also now doing the trucker horn pull.
Yeah.
As well.
Why
and the
not?
Pushing honk thing.
Morgan.
Right.
4-2.
4-2 out in the lead.
Yes, she is.
I'm reticent to tell Royale to sell it because you don't know what you would end up with.
Yeah, be careful.
There would probably be some sort of arrest and jail time.
Morgan is pissed that she lost the first round. She's selling it on the second round.
All right. Morgan, 4-2 in the lead. The goal is 10.
You guys think this is relatable?
I think it's relatable.
Royale.
All right. 4-3. Morgan, 5.
Morgan, 6.
Well, it is hot out.
All right. We need just a few more.
And then we are there.
Yes, sir.
Preston.
What?
Who's your money on this one? I got to say, Morgan has a strong lead.
I think Morgan's going to take it this time. Although... She had a pretty strong come from behind on the last, and it got really, really close.
Strong come from behind.
All right, 6-3 so far. So Morgan's double on Royale, and it's up to you. the commuter of Philadelphia this morning to place a vote.
I mean, and really, it's two hot girls dancing on a van.
I mean, come on.
I think in a way, win. It's a victory for all of us. No matter what your politics or your religion, I think it's a victory for all of us this morning.
Morgan, seven.
Morgan.
Seven for Morgan.
Morgan, eight.
Morgan, eight.
Come on, Kelly Drive.
Two more to go. Morgan,
we're getting waves of cars.
We're getting waves of cars?
Yeah, you'll get like five and then nothing for a second. Five, right. Nothing for like 5 seconds.
Damn so. Traffic lights.
Damn.
Morgan!
Oh, there's nine! One more and she wins. Royale's got to do some serious catching up. Hold on.
Morgan!
And that is it! Morgan, our winner for the second round. That means listener Mike on the phone line gets our prize.
Yes. Everybody walks away a champion.
Everybody wins. And those of you who had to drive in this morning and had to go on West River Drive or Kelly Drive, we gave you two of the finest today. Two Philly's hottest winners. One, CoverGirl from Totally Office Calendar.
Yes.
And we are very happy that we could represent what everybody wants to do, which is pretty much get naked because it's going to be hot and sweaty today. And we gave away some prizes, and we had a wonderful time with our ladies.
It really was special.
Strip hung. What's that?
You guys want to say hi to Morgan?
Let's say hi to Morgan. We haven't talked to her. We spoke to Royale earlier when we had given her the news that she won Philly's Hots. Hey, Morgan.
Hi.
Congratulations on your victory.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah. you are welcome. Is it a little bit toasty? Do you feel comfortable in a bikini out there on Kelly Drive?
Absolutely comfortable. I just have lots of boob sweat.
Lots of boob sweat. Yes, I would imagine. What is the temperature right now out there? Do we know?
Too hot.
Too hot. We'll take that. Yeah.
It's got to be getting up there. So, well, listen, congrats. And you know what? When you get back, I do have for you Royal Dryness underarm and bra sweat pads that I can give you for your sweaty
boobs.
Both
of you, yes.
So you'll be good to go. All right, it's wonderful. Thank you, Morgan, for being a part of this. We appreciate it.
Of course, always.
Excellent. And then Royale is on the other. Royale, are you there?
Hello.
Hey, Royale. Nice work.
Hi, thank you.
And did you have some fun up there on top of the vehicle?
I did.
You looked like it.
It's a tough crowd out here. You know, there's a lot of lady drivers, but you know, I did my.
Oh,
you did a fine job, actually, even though you seemed a little shy.
Yeah, I'd put one of the phone lines on hold, and I put the wrong one on
hold. Right.
So, or they're labeled incorrectly. All right, anyhow, congratulations. Hang on the line, and you guys can make it back here. So thank you, everybody, for being a part of Strip Honking this morning.
You know what? Thank you to Steven Singer Jewelers, who are awarding our strippers today.
Really?
With some gift cards, yeah.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I did not know that.
Very generous. Steven Singer, not only. Not only is Royale winning a prize from Steven Singer because he's one of the sponsors of the Philly's Hottest competition, but for Strip Honking today, that's pretty awesome too. So she doubles up on that. It's been Strip Honking once again, so hopefully you enjoy. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks. Proudly supports the American Cancer Society Bikeathon.
Hey, it's Marcus. Cancer won't stop and neither will we. Join myself and Team WMMR on Sunday, August 9th for the 48th annual ACS Bikeathon. This year we're going virtual. The pedal power to finish the ride against cancer may look different, but the mission remains the same. Each Team WMMR rider gets a free team t-shirt, registration and complete details at WMMR.com, and check out our custom Team WMMR apparel providers, Bolay and Go Cycling. Team WMMR and the ACS Bikeathon, virtually unstoppable.
The ACS Bikeathon, another way 93.3 WMMR is putting Philly first.
In the last commercial break, I think we just made new best friends with...
Do we just become...
the world of rock and roll, because these guys are just as twisted as we are. And they're swinging through. They played a show on Friday night at the Fillmore. They are promoting their album Rock Is Dead, which came out last summer.
Yeah.
And they're on their way to D.C., and they're stopping by here to play, so we appreciate that very, very much. So please welcome Greg, Dylan, DJ, and Dorothy. This is Dorothy!
Yeah! Yeah.
Good morning, folks.
Oh, good morning.
How are you? Dorothy, you weren't in the studio when we had our special little jam session here.
What happened?
A profound bonding moment. You want to explain, Preston?
Well, it's stuff that we can't really say on the radio. It has to do with sucking something. And
So let's just say that a ball sack might enter into it. But every song, when we're playing it, when people aren't listening, we like to mod it by adding in that potential act.
Yeah,
and apparently
you guys
Dylan
do the
does
same
too. Yeah,
see you met Grillin, Greg and Dylan.
Yeah. Oh, really? They're one and the same.
They're
Brangelina.
They're attached at the ball sack, probably.
That'd be about right. Yeah.
Kind of separate.
I just got the most disturbing image. That was fantastic.
What a touching Lifetime movie that would make.
This is untouching.
Interesting thing about you guys, you were signed by Jay-Z's label, Roc Nation. First rock group that he has, he's done it before?
He managed Korn.
That's
really?
That's
right, yeah.
Didn't know that. Wow.
I didn't know that either. I just found out. I was like, really?
Yeah.
And then I hung out with Monkey at the Grammy brunch.
Oh, yeah?
I keep running into Monkey. I was like, okay, makes sense.
Okay, that's cool.
And they have Haim and...
some others.
I would consider Shakira rock. Pop rock.
Maybe her body.
Listen, Latin rock.
Yeah, Latin rock. That's it.
And her hips don't lie.
No.
Apparently that's
right. God bless.
I love Shakira.
Did you guys know each other before? Were you put together by some friends? How did this this band come together?
Yeah, and I actually have known each other the longest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no,
unfortunately.
Me and Dylan, actually.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's
I've known him for like 12 years or something, so yeah. It gets weird.
From L.A.?
No, I'm actually originally from here.
From here, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so that's why you know your stuff. You know,
yeah, he was saying John earlier.
All right, yeah.
We're bringing it back. Right, John's coming back.
Whereabouts here? From Philly proper?
Northeast.
Okay, wow.
Harvesting in the Boulevard, man.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow. I'm still waiting for a cheesesteak.
Oh, well, and you didn't get one on Friday when you guys were here?
No.
I mean, you're in the city.
You got today now.
The heck, guys?
Yeah. They dropped the ball.
She's yelling at me with her eyes right now.
Cheesesteak for breakfast.
Yeah, we've done that many times.
The description and the information we get on you guys is some very interesting stuff. One that really caught my eye was that you wanted to write music that Beavis and Butthead would love. And is that falsely attributed to you, or is that an actual driving?
No, we're dead serious.
Dead serious. I like that, though. I like there's room for that.
They're great judges of music.
And aggressive stuff too is it's wild to see that there are a number of powerful female rock vocalists sort of dominating now, really rising up dramatically, and things always sort of come in waves, but it's a cool moment for this to hit.
Mm-hmm.
Were you always a fan, Dorothy, of hard driving rock?
I think I grew up listening to Janis Joplin.
Well, there you go.
A lot.
Yeah, yeah.
She had some balls.
Yeah.
Big time.
So it really influenced me. I don't know. Actually, I used to, if you hear who I sounded like a few years ago and how it is now, it's totally different.
Who would that be? Who would you sound like?
Just, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm saying like, I don't know what that was.
Okay.
But this
yeah.
is me being me. So.
Okay. What, a little less edge on you at the time?
Nothing.
Really?
It's like, what was I doing?
Ballless.
Shame.
Well, that would be a great album. That's a great album title.
That
Ballless.
Is.
Ballless. First single, Shamey.
I'm proud of my lady balls.
What's been exciting about the past, I don't know, 8 months or so? You guys, your album came out in June, and then you hit the ground running, and there's some exciting things been happening.
Touring with Hailstorm and Lita Ford.
Yeah.
That was really fun.
Lita Ford is very cool. We've had her in on the show a couple of times, and she's, I mean, just stories alone are pretty amazing. Do you hope you end up at the end of your career with those kind of stories, or did some of them scare you? Did she share some stories with you?
She didn't really share. I would like to know
I've heard some things.
What?
I have no liberty to say it.
I've heard some things.
I've heard a thing or two.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I already have a lot of great stories because...
The guys
yeah. joined at the ball sack. Yeah.
Grill
Let's not talk about the fight I almost got into at a strip club in Montreal.
We do want to talk about that now. Yeah, yeah. How did that happen?
This waitress just had an issue with me.
Yeah. Really?
I was just trying to pee. All I wanted to do was beeline to the bathroom.
Right.
And I bumped into her, and she started screaming at me in French. We're in Canada.
Yeah, yeah.
In Montreal. She started screaming at me in French. demanding an apology, which I had. I'm not rude. I apologize. You were there.
I walk out from a dance, and I think she's making friends.
He's like, it's so calm over there. And then he saw two strippers stand up and surround me.
Wow.
And I was just like, I've been boxing. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go. I'll beat you with your own heels. It didn't get that far, though, because the bouncer just, I don't know, I got bear hugged and dragged out. I don't remember.
Kicked out?
They didn't charge me for the drinks.
All right.
Which is how you know that I wasn't in the wrong.
Okay.
Can I cuss? No. So F you. I'm not even going to shout this place out.
Yeah.
For like days afterwards, you kept calling and complaining.
You called the strip club to complain?
I was like, I'm just letting you know, if you charge my credit card, this is going to be a problem. I want to come back there and finish what I started.
Wow.
Whiskey.
Are moments like that inspiration to write a song?
Yes.
Yeah? Have you done that yet?
I'm going to write about it for sure. I have to.
And you're going to mention the actual name of the place in the song?
They don't deserve any free publicity.
All right. Uh-uh. I was up to Montreal a few times, and the clubs are legendary for being pretty top level. I'm surprised you got into an altercation.
They're pretty rude.
Canadians. Really? That's wild.
I'm not saying Canadians are rude. I'm saying that establishment was rude.
All right. There we go.
Because I like strippers, as I'm sure everyone here does. I want to know what's wrong with you.
Was it mentioned in Girls, Girls, Girls from Motley Crue?
No.
Okay. Right. Just checking. So there's a lot of strip clubs name checked in that song.
I don't know. Right. No, it definitely wasn't. Right, it's not legendary by any means. It was a Toronto hole.
Well, now what you have to do, if you do write a song, you got to find out who their main competitor is and talk about what a nice establishment that place is. There you go.
And plenty of parking.
That's your ultimate money shot right there.
Oh, my God.
Plenty of parking and great food.
Great food.
Try the early bird special.
Strip clubs always have great food, though.
They do.
Well, you know what? What happens is, and here's the mindset behind that little secret. So that when guys go and they get billed, they usually have a steakhouse as well. So that the credit card bill will read like steakhouse.
Yeah.
Boom. So that's how you do it, right? That's I'm not misreading. Yes, that's why they do it.
Because they're referring to
meat.
Yeah. Meat. Yeah. Get it. Got it.
Well, we've been playing Dark Knights. That's the song from you guys. And I love it. I think it's just got a cool... the production on it is unique. You know what I mean? The sound of it is, can you describe it? It's a little bit dark. It's
distorted.
Fuzz in there.
Fuzz.
It's a little throwback to 70s type of production. Yeah. I dig it.
That's Mark Jackson and Ian Scott. They produced the album.
Did you guys record? It sounds like it was recorded analog and
it was recorded in a bedroom. Digital. I don't know.
Okay, there you go.
Extremely digital. We have a little more freedom on the second go around with the second album that we're working on now.
Okay.
I have a couple songs with Linda Perry.
Ah, very nice.
Great songwriter, yeah.
And we're doing a lot more in the studio live band stuff, so.
How aware are you at the moment you go into the studio or when you go to record how exactly you want it to sound and how much of it is discovery in the moment while you're there?
For me, most of it's discovery in the moment.
Okay.
I think the producers have a really good idea. Well, Ian, because he's a crazy genius. He's just, don't even get me started.
Another strip club?
No. Ian just knows what it's going to be. Just let him work.
Okay.
You know, it's that situation. He's just, I don't know. He's on another level how he hears it in his head. And then I go, I have an idea. And he's like, shut up.
All right. We already got it.
Got it.
All right. Well, let's get a song out of you guys. What are we going to hear?
Dark Knights.
Let's hear Dark Knights. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dorothy on 93.3 WMMR.
Don't send me no angel. This city is too cold. I need a man with a black heart of gold. Don't give me no lover if he ain't got the stone. I need from grace. I need a man who's got blood on his hands and the truth on his face. I've seen dark nights, oh, dark nights. Only the dark, darkest night can deliver my love, yeah, yeah.
Sounded amazing.
Epic, amazing.
Absolutely amazing. It's Dorothy, if you're just tuning in on 93.3 WMMR. If you missed them on Friday, sorry. You're just going to hear them here, and that's it. But they're headed down to D.C. to continue on as they tour for the Rock is Dead album. That was just fan-freaking-tastic.
Thank you. I was nervous.
Well, you were nervous. Me.
You're... Got like 2 hours of sleep. Well, I'm gonna lie.
Do that all the time. It's figured it out. Yeah, you definitely have a commanding vocal quality.
And when you're really going for it, obviously you're putting it all into your vocals. How hard is that on a human being? I've heard one of my heroes is Neil Peart from Rush, and he was saying that the hardest job in the band is a drummer, but the worst job in the band is the singer.
Well.
True.
This is coming from the drummer. Know what I'm saying?
That's stealing. No, but as far as...
And they get all the glory.
Yeah. Me and Greg have easy jobs.
Just jump up on the end.
You know what it is.
The fan blowing in his hair.
It's the beautiful hair.
We had a lady in the front row that would not let go of DJ Black's leg.
Yeah.
Like, for two songs.
Thirsty. Wow.
Eyeballing her like
thirsty.
Yeah.
Thirsty.
She started slowly making her way up his leg. Well, I'm, you know... I really shouldn't be partying with the band, but I do it anyway.
Right.
So,
YOLO.
Does that naturally just come to you, the vocal quality? I mean, do you have
no,
to...
No, I worked really hard at it.
You did? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Singers are like athletes. You know, it's a muscle.
Yeah.
You train it. You take care of it. Don't smoke crack.
Don't smoke crack is good advice. Right? Yeah.
Only on the weekends.
Hey, eat the crack.
Everything in moderation.
Yes.
Crack just really dries your throat.
Is it indeed whack, as we've heard?
I don't know. I've never smoked it.
Okay. But it's wild because, you were mentioning Janis Joplin, and I mean, that's, you know, her vocal pyrotechnics are legendary, but mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that you, with 2 hours of sleep, could come in and rip through it like that is pretty amazing.
I mean, it took a while to get there.
Yeah, did you have an epiphany when you reached that point, when you said, I'm here?
No, because I'm still sitting here going, F. Am I going to do this?
Right.
You know, but it's just a matter of warming up and muscle memory and doing it and having a great band.
Speaking of a great band, Steve, was it you that you thought you saw somebody in the band? Maybe this is erroneous information, but somebody's dad smoked weed with Bob Marley.
Yeah, right here.
Get out of here, you're serious.
Oh, yeah. Really got jealous.
Buddy Cash, man, he's a legend. He's a local legend.
Local
Tell
legend.
About your pet pig.
Yeah.
Pickles.
He's got a pet pig.
Well, he did. Pickles.
It's great.
Your dad?
Yeah.
Has a pet pig named Pickles?
No, Pickles died. Oscar Mayer's the new pig. I can't
My
make this stuff up, man.
Bacon one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hang on. Back up, though. I want to hear the story about your dad smoking with Bob. How did that happen?
I don't remember the story, to be honest with you.
They both had pets that were pigs, and that started up a conversation.
Didn't he tell you guys the story the other night?
Yes.
What is it?
A little inebriated, but I think he was just in Jamaica, and just his vibe brought him to Bob Marley.
Yeah.
If you meet Buddy Cash, you just kind of understand
you get
it
happened.
You understand. Yeah, it makes sense.
That is meet him. So what was it like growing up with a dad like that who's...
He's a bass player as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it was rock and roll.
Perfect.
Like,
wow.
I was doing gigs when I was like 16 and the whole thing, man.
That's why. Awesome. The amazing thing of Jamaica is that, they listen to Bob Marley all the time. You think it's a stereotype, but they do all the freaking time.
Wait, Greg, so did your dad play in bands around Philly? Or?
Yeah, he still does.
He still does?
Yeah.
Did he play with the Hooters?
Wait, yeah.
Because I found an article and it was like a quick little comment, but I can't find exactly what it says about him, but something with the Hooters.
Oh, that was, what's the name of that band? Oh, I can't think of it.
The Hooters?
No, not the Hooters. Dude, there was, like all some...
Baru Review?
I don't know.
The Beatles?
I still have on 2 hours to
say. I'll find it. I'm going to keep reading.
But let's talk about Pickles.
Zeppelin? Yeah.
Pickles the pig.
What was it? You need to call him.
Greg hated Pickles.
Really?
Oh, I
she
hated
bit him
pig
in the middle of the night.
Oh, dude, she was mean, man.
Apparently, they're really fast.
Pigs? Well,
pigs are really
dude,
fast.
With them little stubby legs, man, it's like 60 pounds of just sheer aggression coming at you, dude.
Wow.
She was like extra mean. Like, I remember like
jealous
falling asleep on the couch and she just come up and take a chunk out of my side, man. It was messed up.
Do you know people don't realize that, but larger pigs, they don't, like the mob used to do it all the time. You cut up bodies and feed them to pigs.
Oh my God.
Pigs will
They'll
eat
kill people.
Human flesh. Yeah. Absolutely.
Great idea.
She wasn't scared, man. That's
I think she
sure
wanted Buddy Cash all to herself.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, you were in the way.
I was going to say, man, oh, she was trying to take me down.
I would love if like the pig was cool to Christian, but hated me.
There's another powerful story from the band.
I was going to say, maybe you could segue into that strip club and mention Pickles in the song that you're going to write about that, too. Make it all come together.
Yeah, just take everybody down.
I have an idea for a music video.
So how,
stripper pigs.
Bacon in a strip club. That's going to be the name of the song.
Instead of throwing money, you just throw
pieces
of
pickles.
Make it rain bacon, yeah.
What is happening right now?
Just us. Don't worry about it.
Sadly, we're syncing up. We didn't have a lot of sleep either, but you 2 hours.
Yeah.
I know when you're touring and when you're spending a lot of time together, you can grate on each other's nerves. Any of that, or do you just know to go to break and go your separate way?
Actually, we get along great.
That's terrific.
I can tell.
It's crazy. Me and Dylan, we just annoy everybody. And we just talk massive.
I will tell them, like, okay, no. Nap time. Night time. Shut up.
Yeah, Dorothy, are you in charge? Can you bring the hammer down?
They don't listen to me.
They don't listen to you?
Definitely not.
They know when it's serious, though. Like, okay, she needs to sleep just 2 more hours. Just shh. Don't wake it up.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah. All right, good. They need, as long as they understand that.
No, we get along. We're just like a family.
You guys look like, I can tell, you look like you have fun, which is, I mean.
That comes through. Yeah, yeah.
Sub 19 Pro V.
They have to. Nice modeling shot. By the way, I understand you did a Playboy, a non-nude, and this is when Playboy had gotten rid of the nudity in their magazine.
And I don't know what's going on. Is it
They're
back
bringing
or
it back, yeah,
oh,
to
good
some extent.
Please
yeah
do.
Nobody bought
the magazine.
Did you know that?
Limited by 75%. Thanks, Playboy.
They just did a music interview on me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
That's
cool, right? I mean, Playboy has interviewed some of the... a lot of people laugh and think you're just blowing it up so you can look at the dirty, you know, the nudity. But the truth of the matter is they're famous for some of the best rock interviews of all time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's a bit of an honor, yeah.
All right, well, listen, we want to get one more song out of you, if you guys are cool with that.
Woo!
Let's do it.
Is that good?
Which one?
Oh, do Suck My Rock. I love that song.
Oh, stop it. Stop. You know what rock
is? My rock.
Yes, there comes. Come on, no, you can't start it.
I guess.
Raise hell?
Yeah.
Rock me, man.
All right, what are we doing? Dorothy, what are we doing?
Let's do Raise Hell.
Raise hell. All right. This is Dorothy, everybody, on 93.3 WMMR.
Don't care what your old man says.
Yes. Wow. Dorothy on 93.3 WNMR.
Thank you so much.
That is some good, soulful, gritty rock. I love it, man. Sounds fantastic.
A lot of ex-boyfriends.
Yeah.
And Canadian strip club. Yes.
That too.
God bless them.
Yeah. Guys, thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
Continued success, and we'll see you back around here again sometime. Absolutely.
2 hours of sleep.
All right. Yes. Every time. Dorothy on 93.3 WMMR. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a minute. Stay with us.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
It's brought to you by HERS. Pick up a specially marked bag of HERS today for a chance to win $10,000 and take your summer to the next level. Full rules and details at summer.hers.com. HERS, forever good.
We'll start with this. Disgusting footage has allegedly captured shopkeepers inflating raw chickens with their mouths.
Yeah?
In a bid to make them seem more plump.
You can do that?
Apparently you can.
I haven't blown up a chicken.
The footage is reported to have been filmed in Venezuela and claims to show men working in factories and on market stalls blowing air into the meat. So by breathing into the chickens, the sellers are able to increase the weight of the meat and therefore increase the price, it says. According to the video, the vendors take the chicken by the neck and then they blow into the mouth for several seconds.
Or they use their diseases.
Mouth. Well, they use their mouths. They hold it on the chicken neck and blow into it and plump it up.
Wow, man. That's just wrong.
They then seal off the hole to prevent any air from escaping. We're looking at video of it right now. Yeah, so they I guess they cut a hole in the neck.
Yeah. I was letting the air out of a chicken last night, and I was like, what's this about?
So the heads are still on. There are now concerns that as well as ripping the public off, the practice of inflating chickens could spread disease.
Exactly.
Put in your mouth. You could get sick. You're putting your mouth on raw chickens, too. Wow.
Insane.
The newspaper reported that similar instances were discovered 2 years ago and reported to police.
What do they do for the beef?
Market stalls carrying out food alterations were shut down, but the video, this video seems to suggest that the scam has restarted.
When the chicken is hovering up in the air on a string,
yeah,
check it out.
Let's see. A man accused of lighting brush fires in the North Carolina mountains told a federal forestry agent that he had done it because he wanted a little excitement. He said, "I guessed I was a little bored.
I started bored. You know how when you burn things, it gets exciting?"
Keith Eugene Mann said when confronted about the fires, according to an affidavit from Brian Southard, a special agent from the U.S. Forest Service, he said that he was looking into two blazes in the far western corner of the state that appeared to have been intentionally set. Investigators found wooden matchsticks near one fire. In all, about 16 acres were scorched in the fires. A suspicious pickup truck had been seen driving around the rural area about the time the second fire started. Southard also listened to a call placed to the 911 center from a man identifying himself as Mann reporting the fire. Southard went to Mann's home, sat down with him on the tailgate of the truck, talked about the fires. Mann initially denied having anything to do with the blazes, but then he admitted both.
All right, you got me.
Southard said Mann told him he wanted to see something burn, and that his wife had recently left him, so he didn't have much to live for.
Well, here's what happened. I was home, and I'd blowed up all my chickens.
But I tell you what, these wildfires have just been insane
crazy
this year. And Steve and I were watching video of a couple of guys trying to get out of their neighborhood.
Yes.
And it was terrifying.
How they made it, because at certain points they are driving through walls of fire.
And at certain points they hit dead ends. And
yes.
They're like, okay, we got to turn around. And then you can't see because of the smoke. And it's going, it's like a 5-minute long video. And I mean, it looks insanely scary.
You know, Dollywood in Tennessee almost went up.
Really?
Yeah, because they had fires locally in the woods, and Dolly herself stepped in.
Wow.
She's an angel.
Hey, a young woman who was born without a vagina has told how she hopes to become a mother following life-changing surgery to create one. Devin Merck was just 12,
I'm all ears.
Was just 12 years old when she found out that she had no vagina.
12 years old, it took you all that time?
Yeah, before they did an exploratory,
okay,
you know, thing. She was diagnosed with Mayer-Rottkansky-Kaester-Hauser syndrome.
That means no vagina.
Yeah, she recently discovered that she had working ovaries, though. And
she's
now
beautiful.
Now they hope to have her, she hopes to have her own child via a surrogate. Surgeons create a man-made vag using skin taken from her butt, allowing her to lead a normal life and be able to have sex. And now...
So they're making a vagina out of her butt.
Yeah.
It kind of already is.
No, not that part of the butt.
Oh.
They've taken skin.
Oh.
And now Devin and her husband, Trent, from Georgia, are hoping to start a family with the help of a surrogate. She said, for years, I was bullied and felt different. Kids would call me a boy and a freak, and boyfriends would disappear when they realized that I wouldn't have sex.
That's just not right. Not her fault.
But since I met my husband, my life has changed completely. We recently discovered I have both of my ovaries, and we are hoping to have a biological child of our own.
Hot spit.
Pretty. Did you say hot spit?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's very encouraging.
Yeah. So anyhow, I thought that was a pretty cool story. A Florida man has been arrested after breaking into his neighbor's home to pet the family cat.
I can understand this.
St. Petersburg resident Brittany Klein woke up in the middle of the night after her cat was startled.
You're a pretty kitty.
She said, when I opened my eyes, I could see the shadow of a man standing at the end of my bed. He was standing perfectly still.
I'm petting your kitty cat.
I said hello, and when I said hello, he dropped very slowly to the ground. And as soon as I saw the shadow move down the ground, I knew that somebody was there. She flipped the lights on and noticed a man crouched down at the floor of her bed petting the cat. She told the man to leave, in which he complied. The intruder, later identified as Jasper Fiorenza, had to climb over a baby gate to exit Klein's bedroom, allowing police to pull a fingerprint off of the bedroom door frame. Fiorenza attempted to return to Klein's home the following night. He was promptly arrested.
Okay, so, and his reasoning was literally just to pet the cat.
I think so. He now faces charges of burglary and resisting an officer without violence. And then, finally, we will end with this. A hidden camera left in a forest to take pictures of animals in the wild captured pictures of a naked man who believed that he was a tiger after taking LSD.
I'm a tiger! Look at this! Grow!
The man only identified
I'm
as...
I'm a wild tiger!
As a... The man, only identified as Merrick from the Czech Republic, took the drug to try and treat his depression.
I'm Merrick the Tiger! Growl!
But after taking LSD, he then ran off into the Polish forest, stripped naked, and started behaving like a tiger.
I must leave you now and return to the world of tigers!
Later, foresters look back
and... I hope my message of peace lives on!
They look back at the footage to try and see if they had captured any wild animals on camera, but after watching footage of the man, he handed...
That's the brown eye of the tiger.
Yeah. It's the brown eye of the tiger. It's the thrill of the fight. They handed the picture straight over to the police, who later apprehended Merrick. The 21-year-old then confessed to police that he had taken LSD.
I'm a tiger. I'm a tiger. I'm a tiger, running around, tiger round. I'm a tiger, I am high.
He told them the, he said he it started to work immediately and that he felt he had become a Siberian tiger.
Wow, that's a cool one to go for.
He told police that it was then that his true personality had woken up and that he had always connected with the animal.
Amazing.
He added that while being high on the drug, he picked up a scent and felt compelled to follow it. In 8 hours, he is believed to have traveled 15 and a half miles along the Czech-Polish border.
Not bad.
He's hauling ass.
Yeah.
But because the man did not have any drugs with him, he was only fined and will not face any further charges. So,
come on.
Yeah, this
dude,
picture.
Pull it together.
Look straight up his
straight
butt.
Straight up his ass.
Yep. All right, and there you go. That is what I have for you in the bizarre file.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll take one more quick break. So stay near, my friend.
MMR and Live Nation are happy to announce the live performance drought is finally over. It's the Live-In at the Drive-In Concert Series. A month of shows in the Phillies parking lot you'll experience from your car. 93.3 WMMR and the Struts invite you to rock out live in your ride Saturday, August 22nd.
Your body talks! Your body talks!
The Live-In at the Drive-In Concert Series.
A socially awesome solution to a performance-less pandemic featuring the Struts and many
more. See the full schedule at WMMR.com.
Tickets on sale now at LiveNation.com from 93.3 WMMR.
Everything that rocks.
We have a surprise appearance by a member of the Preston Steve Show staff, Nick Murphy.
Yay!
Man behind the camera and the Daily Rush videos and all those things has popped in. How are you, Nick B?
I'm great. I like this music.
Excellent. Good. You threw something appropriate in there. And Nick and Marissa had come over and said, you know, there's something kind of interesting you guys should know. That I guess one of our Daily Rush videos has all of a sudden kind of virally taken off.
Yeah, just out of nowhere.
We don't know which one it is.
So. Within the first week, it just kind of blew up. I was so what do you want first? You want which video or just how crazy viral this thing is?
Oh, give us the numbers first and then let's find out which one of us is going to be completely embarrassed.
I think I have another more pressing question. Why do you still wear your glasses?
You had LASIK surgery.
Dude, man, I just like the way I look.
It's your look. I got it. Okay. Once we clarify that, we can move on. However you want to present it to us, you know, because we like to be surprised.
All right. Well, so in the past week, this video has gotten over 900,000 views.
What?
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's only been up for a week or so?
No, it's an older video.
Okay.
It's from last year.
Huh. Okay.
So we think it just kind of got picked up in some weird
our golden age
algorithm or something, yeah.
Can I ask a couple of questions? We'll see if we can narrow it
down. Yeah. Okay.
Does it involve a celebrity?
No.
Oh.
So is it,
holy
is it,
crap. I would have naturally assumed we were talking about a celebrity.
It's
something when the celebrity was searched, that it came up.
Show-centric. So it's something that just sort of happened on the show, kind of organically.
It's something we did, and we executed.
Is there, okay. Well, I was going to say, is it a Steve impression?
No, it's it's
something
it's a
we
content
did
kind of thing.
Okay,
it's
hang
cool
on. All right, so it's not something that actually happened during the show. It's something we created.
I mean, it happened during the show when we created it, yes.
Oh, okay.
Dumpster pool?
No.
That's what I was going to say.
Good guess.
Was it outside?
Right. No, it was inside in the studio.
Mm. Oh, was it us doing that stupid fall down?
No, it wasn't.
Team building.
It was horrible.
Yeah, the team building. Wasn't that cake sitting?
No, it wasn't cake sitting. Right,
that was last year. Yeah. That was this year.
Right.
Is it anything genre-oriented?
No, so it's not like a horror.
Yeah, those
or like
that
superhero-y.
No.
Those are the things I would figure that in a search might yield. All right, I'm flummoxed and I have no idea.
Here we go. The text coming in. Ranch dressing?
No, but that one's doing really well. People really like that one a lot.
But no real rhyme or reason for this.
I think there's definitely a reason for it.
Okay.
Is it sexual? Is it having to do with Kathy?
It's sexual.
All right. Oh. What is it?
Sexual.
Sexual.
It's our penis painting party.
Penis painting party.
You got to be kidding me.
Definitely not the one I would have thought.
But
now that it happened, I'm kind of not surprised.
I thought that kind of came and went. And
so did I.
And it was gone. And so to bring you up to speed, if you didn't know, we had a bunch of ladies from our sorority sisters come in. And we did kind of one of those, paint a treasure or, paint and sip, whatever they're called. I forgot all the names of the places.
Paint and draw D's.
And so we had them come in. We poured some wine. And then we had some male models, male strippers, totally, completely naked.
Completely.
and aroused.
They were ready for action. And in fact, they were taking a pride in getting themselves engorged.
So they the ladies painted them. So they were standing there naked for a couple hours in an aroused state. And by the way, when Nick Murphy was first editing the video and he used pixelation on their genitals, I saw the first rough cut. I'm like, dude, that you know. Like,
more?
Even me, I'm saying, no, it's so clearly obvious that these guys, and they were hung.
And they were completely, so funny, and it was very similar to just to what occurred just the other day. Nick Murphy and I are in the office, and he is editing the porn footage of Chuck Berry farting in the hooker's face.
That's right.
And we have the actual footage, and we're trying to refine the way it's pixelated.
What can we get away with?
So, Nick, where was this picked up? Like, do you know what sites it's coming from?
Marissa and I were trying to figure out. We don't think it's a site. I think it's like a YouTube kind of thing. I think that people are looking at videos that are of similar content. And then
what's the title on it? Is it Penis Party?
Yeah, it's a Penis Painting Party.
Well, that's going to be one of the things on a search that's going to...
Penis Party?
Yeah. I think it's the description. I take a lot of pride in the descriptions that I write for these. So I wrote, "We have a classy painting party... ... with dudes with giant wangs." So I think that has something to do with it.
I'm sure that in the search parameters, giant wangs is going to get a great response.
Well, if you haven't seen it, I just bumped it back up to the top on PresidentSteve.com. So if you're interested in seeing this penis painting party, you can now do so.
Interesting.
Does this end up... boosting other Daily Rush numbers?
Yeah, totally. So we kind of see like this overall bump and like people finding that and being like, oh wow, I like this content. I'm going to see what else we have. So yeah, all over we're kind of like
doing pretty well.
Yeah, we're getting a good bump.
All right. So I just throw a couple of wangs in any video and we're good to go.
Yeah, I think I don't know. Maybe next year's calendar could kind of come this way.
Nothing but wangs.
Yeah. Well, this text says wow because that was some of the worst radio you guys ever did.
Signed, Bill Weston.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, thank you. That's a pleasant little surprise, Nick. We appreciate it.
Yeah,
man.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
What's coming up in the near future?
We just put that Chuck Berry one up.
Okay.
There's a Lindsay Lohan one up that I'll be putting up today that I think will be pretty funny.
Excellent. All right. Thank you, Nick Murphy. Hey. Video wizard that he is. And well, it's funny because I had no idea that it was going to pertain to that particular subject or that video. But I do have something that kind of falls in line with that. It's a sexual in nature, if you will.
Oh, boy.
I know, Bill. Calm down, Bill. But I don't...
Repetition and graphic.
I don't...
Those are the parameters. You can't repeat it and you can't get graphic.
I don't go on Reddit. I am not a... Do you have to be...
I hate Reddit.
Do you?
I can't say I hate it because I don't use it enough to really develop an opinion. When I'm sent things on Reddit, the page looks like it's computer data.
I agree. I'm confused by the format of it. I know what you
People
mean.
People enjoy the forum aspect of it, though. They enjoy the conversation and... there's a President Steve Reddit out there, and so people sort of use that as a way to talk about us and things that are going on the show. And so
about our Wang painting parties?
Wang painting parties. I mean, Reddit is like Twitter in that you can post whatever you want. So sometimes it takes a little bit of criticism, but it's an open forum. So you can put porn on Reddit, and nobody will delete it.
Huh. Okay. So Reddit, by the way, and they have interesting, forums and lines of questions and answers and so forth that rolled down that. And I saw one online recently that is they rounded up some of the most cringeworthy things that people on Reddit have said or been told during the act of copulation.
Now, we've had a few. I mean, there's the classic thing with which Casey, very generously offered up candidly, I'm going to make you. Feel so good. Which I think is sort of a standard thing somebody might utter. But when hormones are raging during that moment, your brain starts to disconnect. And I imagine you might say some very stupid stuff.
I'm going to make you feel so good. And she laughed at you, right?
No. She just looked at me like, no.
Don't do that.
Oh, are you going to leave? So these are either ones, some of them indicate whether they said it themselves or someone else said it back to them. And other ones just say, this is the weirdest thing. So like one person said during the act, they looked at the other person and said, you have the eyes of the devil.
Oh. Yeah, that's probably not.
As a compliment?
I don't know.
Why would you say that?
Yeah.
Her name was Rosemary.
Here's Annette. Now, this is... Kathy, are you on Reddit?
No.
She's strictly Pornhub.
Because apparently in the middle of sex, somebody said, "Stop sweating on me."
Well, yes. That's like...
We were talking about that yesterday. We were talking about the things that are part of the stepping stone process of things that you reveal or that are disgusting that are done with a new girlfriend or boyfriend.
I think sweat is a good indicator of a great encounter.
A vigorous session.
Yeah.
I think what you don't want is when you're both sweating, that's a great, you're going at it, it's wonderful. If you're just there and you're a pig, it's not so good.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
That's why you have to share the workload.
Yes.
You got to let somebody else do a little bit of the work as well.
That's why I leave a curling bar at the edge of the bed.
So they get sweaty too.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to paraphrase just so Bill doesn't wig out on this one.
Don't repeat and don't be too graphic.
This woman wrote, "A guy blamed me for his inability to keep
to keep in the game
solid, because my nanny hoo hoo was too shallow."
You mean didn't really want to discuss books or literature, mostly pop culture, talked about the Kardashians a lot.
She said, "I obsessed about how shallow I was for months afterward, convinced that I was deformed."
I know someone who had a similar thing just said in passing, and it impacted them. A girl, a friend of mine who was not a girlfriend, but a very good friend who was a girl, and it stuck with her for years. And you can't imagine the kind of impact something like that said in passing.
Oh, that's kind of like, you're small. Like if you said that to a guy.
Well, yeah. And I just high five and say, I agree. But otherwise, in this case, this really haunted her.
I never heard of this.
Yeah. You're in a moment of passion. You're very vulnerable. And someone tells you something like that.
You're so shallow.
Yeah, you're so shallow.
All right. Here's one that.
You're very large.
I like this one. Then this guy admitted it himself. He said he was at the moment of completion and he yelled, "I kill people."
What?
That's
what
odd.
He said she got confused and stared at me really wide-eyed. And he doesn't indicate why he said that.
In his defense, it was Ted Bundy.
Was that?
Yeah. So he was legitimately saying something on his resume. He literally was killing people.
That would weird me out.
What makes you, is that your declaration? I kill them with my vigorous sexual prowess?
That's probably.
I don't even know what that.
I kill people.
Right.
I'm a hired assassin.
When Marissa was dating that guy and they were at the casino and he hit the jackpot and he turns around and he goes, "You're a whore."
That's right. Sometimes you just say things.
What? To me, that seems an indicator of emotional issues. Your joy is synonymous with labeling your date a whore.
That's right. He spun the
wheel of fortune. It landed on the 20, which is like there's only one on the entire board. Lands on the 20, turns around, and goes, "You are a whore,"
loudly.
Over, I think he won $1,000.
Yeah. He's just excited, right? Yeah, I don't know.
But then when you have
the real feelings come out.
When when you have a fight, the best thing is the makeup cheese.
That's right, the cheese. Here's another one. It says my ex had a vantage point to notice that my roots needed a touch up and told me in the it's decided it would be a good time to verbalize that observation.
Yeah, guys, perfect. Comment on what's not up to snuff on your partner during intercourse.
That's assuming this was in doggy time.
Yeah.
And
your roots are just a wreck, girlfriend. And your split ends are really killing it for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This one's
okay.
Not too graphic. Don't repeat.
No. Okay. Say one time.
I'm going to leave a word out.
Okay. Well, it's like Mad Libs. Is it an adjective, a noun?
Well, I'm going to say the word swallowed, but I'm not going to say anything else around it.
Okay.
That would indicate anything. So I think you can.
Yeah.
Anyhow, right after that, she said, "You drink too much soda."
So it was carbonated?
Yeah, right. This is bubbly.
I don't get that. I know. Yeah.
Sweet.
All right. Okay.
So anyhow, you drink too much soda. He said straight faced. Okay. And I was kind of offended.
Why would you be offended?
I don't know.
I mean,
Too graphic?
Yeah.
I want to ask a question, but I don't know. If...
Nah.
Write it down.
All right.
Write it down, and I'll answer it. Nobody will know the Nobody will know the question.
Right.
It's like Jeopardy.
Here's another one, and this is a woman. A guy said to her in the middle of the act,
"Yeah,
call me daddy.
Call me daddy."
She said, that's a lady boner killer.
There are many people, and who's your daddy, all that stuff. There are many people that don't want to be reminded of their parents.
Leave mom and dad
during intimacy.
Bedroom.
Yeah.
You're just like Aunt Marge.
No.
Really? No. She's got a hook for a hand.
Call me grandma.
Yeah. You're just like Uncle Slappy.
Nick is writing down his question. All right. Is that lengthy?
No.
No. Okay. Here's page one.
And is it worth it? Follow-up question.
Oh, okay.
Can I answer it?
Sure.
I would say yes, because remember when you guys tasted Chuck's wife's breast milk?
Mm-hmm.
And she had gone out drinking the night before. And
taste the vodka.
You guys tasted a little bit of the alcohol.
I've heard that eating asparagus can... I know it changes the smell of your urine, but it apparently tastes.
I've heard the same properties that cause that to happen would cause the former to happen.
Pineapple.
Yeah.
Hey.
Also, chicken.
Really?
Yes.
So what you really want is pineapple on chicken.
I have clearly tasted chicken a few times.
Wait.
And I got to get me to Popeye.
We had a text from...
We're safe, right? I mean, we're...
Yeah.
Chicken.
We've been very vague.
Not too specific.
And a guy texts in and says one time, or a girl texts in, one time a guy was finished and said, "Daddy's done."
Daddy's done.
No.
Show me your report card. Anything that brings you into that child, parent, incestual, that is just, that's bizarre and troubling.
Yeah. All right. here's one. He says this guy, he said he was reaching near the end, and he said, "I exclaimed, I love you more than cooked food."
All right.
I love you more than cooked food.
What does that mean?
I think there's no blood in your head at that point, and you're just, words are just being, it's basically like a ransom note that's been clipped together.
You're speaking in tongues.
Yeah. You're like a snake handler.
He said she paused for a moment and peered at me and then all resumed and then we never spoke of it again.
I love you more than cooked food.
Yeah, exactly. And then the guy said...
And you know how much I love cooked food.
Now, I don't know if this is a man or a woman because they just use the Reddit usernames. But apparently in the middle of the act, this person said, "Oh, sorry, I guess I fell asleep for a bit there."
Oh, man.
Wow. That really makes you feel like you're rocking their world when you have time for a nap.
It had to have been a woman. I want to say...
Have you ever had that happen?
I think, yes. I think that may have happened one time. So when alcohol is involved...
That is the rogue element.
You can pass out. And I remember girlfriend. Let me make sure I say that. Girlfriend. Yeah. And, I was like, "Are you... You know, if you're not into this, I'll just kind of bail, you know. We can rejoin tomorrow morning."
There are also times when you're doing it and it is so late. And say if you're doing it on during the week or like, you know, it's been a particularly long day. So let's say it's a Friday. For us, I'm up at 3:50 and I'm straight through to whatever. You're going to get a little drowsy.
Yeah, I'm not sure I would fall asleep, though.
Well, because your head keeps hitting the backboard. It's hard to fall asleep.
This texter said, "One time my a-hole husband told me to call him Alan Thick."
But that could work.
Thick.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
We've had people, that it was like an assignment America for the show.
Yeah.
To yell out Preston and Steve, right?
And we had a few takers.
People recorded it.
We should do that again.
Sure. Hey, go for it.
You know, Alan Thick passed away recently. It might be kind of a good celebration of his life.
Alan Thick. Somebody was texting in, "Steve, there was a bit on SNL not too long ago with Aziz Ansari. You sent me the video of it. Hilarious."
Which?
They were doing dirty talk.
Yes. Oh, it was hilarious.
And
she's not good at it.
She was not good at
it.
She was saying the wrong things, like bringing family into it and all this other stuff. He's like, "No.
We have the audio."
Do we?
We should. Because I remember I had it sent over. check for it. It's the new girl on the show, and she's really funny.
And then the last one I saw on this list of inappropriate or cringeworthy things that people have said or been told during the act of intimacy. This female said a guy told her, bark like a dog, bark like an effing dog. And then her response was, no.
Yeah. That's what makes me feel comfortable.
Yeah. Another great sequence in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, where he's there with the girl, and she goes, hi. And he goes, hi.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And she goes, hi. Again, he goes, hi. And she does it one more time, and he goes, could you please stop saying that? And then she goes, do you want to gag me?
Yeah.
And he goes, you have a gag with you? Yeah. You can gag me if you want. Well, I kind of want to now.
It's nice. Is it? Do you consider that an essential part of intimacy? The talk?
No,
it's not.
Not
for
at
me.
All.
No. If it happens, that's fine.
Yeah,
but it's not a necessity. There are some people who crave that. Want the narration.
I've never.
They want a book on tape.
No, I've never. That's never been. No.
Okay. Yeah.
I can't be creative in that moment. You know what I mean? I'm just...
Well, that's why the porn banter is always so bad.
My God.
You know, touch that blank, you know.
It's horrible.
Yeah. It's like a bad hip-hop song.
I have been... I was called the wrong name one time.
Were you?
That was interesting.
Was the wrong name the name of a former?
Yes.
Oh my God. No.
What'd you do?
I go, what did you call me? What? And she just goes, nah, never mind. And then...
Called you Casey.
I didn't want an explanation of it right then because I'm a guy. I didn't get crazy offended. And just,
no.
How dare you?
Yeah.
I'm like, can we finish and then we'll talk about it later on?
I'm really upset, but let's finish.
But yeah, it was a former boyfriend, which that didn't bother me because
it happens.
It was new in our relationship. Yeah. I mean, we had just been dating for less than a month. So I was like, okay. I'm like, yeah, it's all right.
And I had a girl yell out the name of my dog. That was troubling.
Oh, dear God. Clementine?
Yeah, Clem. Great Dane. No, it's funny because as all the emotions and hormones and everything is raging, you're less likely to be coherent, but everything that is said is going to carry much, much more weight because of that.
Some of these texts are crazy. Had a guy friend who was with his wife and finished and yelled hot soup.
Hot soup. That's dirty talk for Bill.
He said, right?
Right. Soup.
Minestrone. Minestrone, chicken noodle.
Chowder.
Yeah.
Soup is sexual. Soup is dirty. Gets all over the floor. Gets on the pillows. Soup's bad.
I miss Bill.
Plenty.
Stevie wakes up having a nightmare about it.
Split pea, clam chowder. What, honey? You're bathed in sweat.
I had a bad dream. Good luck at the school. Open barn door.
What are you saying?
He just blurts them out.
Oh, dear God. Okay. Anyhow, I thought this was kind of interesting, and maybe it's reminding you of some moments that you had. Back in the day. Oh, we do have that?
Yeah.
Okay, let's play some of this. This is from SNL, the Dirty Talk bit with Aziz Ansari.
What's up, you dirty girl?
Yeah. What's up, you freaking alcoholic?
Babe, let's not bring up my old demons, you know? I mean, I'm a little sensitive about that. Just be, like, a little mean to me.
Okay. What's up, bitch? I make more money than you.
Okay. Well, that's kind of another sore spot for me, bro. You know? Let's keep it simple. How about you just call me daddy?
Okay.
You like that?
Oh, yeah. Dad, do me, dad.
One second. Wait. Maybe don't say dad, because dad, it just sounds like you're talking about your real dad, you know, like your biological dad. Maybe you just need a little structure, you know? From a little role playing, huh? Here, I'll lead us off. Well, hello, young lady. Are you here after class for some extra tutoring?
Oh, yeah, I am. Because I have a learning disability.
Oh, my God. That is a great bit. Oh, God. All right. Anyhow, try some of that out this weekend. Why don't you? Hey, we're going to take a quick break. Be back in a moment.
What's new?
Why do you ask?
Godsmack. The Killers. What's it gonna be? Green Day. We just keep on
dreaming. New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
This is Jay Farrell.
Yeah. I'm back, bitches.
You are back.
Yeah, I'm back, and I came here to see these Gold Club. God dang, I can hardly concentrate. What's happening behind me right now?
It's all for you, man.
It's hard when it's butt cheeks behind you. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. My ADD acting up. I'm sorry. Let's look.
When you were coming up in doing comedy, starting early, I know I did comedy for a little bit, and occasionally you'd end up playing a strip club or something. Did you ever do your share of that stuff?
Did I do a strip club? No, I think I did like a Chinese food restaurant. Yeah, that was fun.
A Chinese restaurant?
Yeah, having people eating pork ribs while you sitting there trying to tell jokes. And the pork ribs, you can't beat a pork rib. I'm sorry.
No matter how funny you are,
no joke is going to beat a pork rib. I mean, or orange sesame chicken, because that's amazing as well.
Yes.
Can't put a joke up against no orange chicken. Get out of here. You lose in Chinese.
Every time. I think you're right.
Yeah, man. You will not win. You know what's funny? Let's talk about it, folks. Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Dude thought I was Michael Che this morning. Last interview I did.
John DiBella?
John DiBella thought I was Michael Che. Yeah. Yeah, that was fun. He was like, hey, good job on the RNC. I was like, oh, no. I was like, yeah, man.
We do talk about this. Yeah. I don't remotely get that.
But no.
Because I don't think you look a friggin' thing like Michael Che.
I don't, man.
Yeah.
So Michael Che can't post shirtless pics on his Instagram. It's not going to be the same reaction.
Michael Che is doughy. Well, we were talking about this too. Yeah, I follow you on Instagram and Twitter, and you post a lot of pictures. You've been getting jacked.
Let's take it off.
Let's see what you got.
All right.
Jacket's coming off.
Let's get started. Okay.
All right. Let's see.
Let's check the pecs. Right. Damn. First, the pecs are nice. You know what I'm saying? I saw bench pressing again. Let's check the at. Well, I'm not gonna lift my shirt up right now.
No,
you know what I mean, if you can feel, wow. I got like that. My definition is crazy. I got that. Real
here you
stress.
Go.
Look at that.
Oh, you got
there.
The
oh,
V.
Oh snap! There it is.
You're like Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah,
man.
Oh no, come on. I can read better than that. I don't want to talk trash about Floyd Mayweather.
No.
I did an interview with Floyd Mayweather. I was on Who Kids show.
Yeah.
And I interviewed him, and I said, I said Floyd is so good hearing you talk on this phone, and you know what I mean, because I didn't agree, and I did not believe when people told me that you couldn't read your contracts. I was like, no. He was like, that's a good joke. And I was like, oh, snap. I said, I got away with it. He is the dude
that impressed me as just a loose cannon. Like,
oh,
he is ready to go. Now the word is he's going to fight Conor McGregor, right?
Is he going to fight him or is he just going to do that shoulder lean thing where he just like dodges the whole show? I'm like, man, we don't want to see dodge. You throw a punch.
Yeah, they're talking about you've seen it, right?
Yeah.
That he's going to fight Conor McGregor
by the end of the year, because he's undefeated.
No.
40 years old.
If he tries it, Conor McGregor, I mean, listen, and not to get into full discussion, but, you know, he couldn't beat him in a boxing, under boxing rules in a boxing match, and there's no way Mayweather could beat McGregor in a UFC fight with UFC rules. It's just two completely different animals.
I mean, look, man, if you want to beat Floyd Mayweather, you got to shoot him in his kneecaps so he can't. Shoot him in his kneecaps. And he'd be like, you just punch him in the face. He'd be like, there you go.
Yeah. Is that legal? Can you do that in the UFC, shoot him in the kneecaps?
I mean, come on, man. You've seen, if a kick to the side of the face is legal, I'm sure. I would rather take a shot to the kneecaps than a kick to the side of the face. You know what I mean? I'll take that any day. I want my ear looking like a pork dumpling, because that's how they look. You ever see these guys?
You are right.
These guys' ears look like the troll under the bridge. You know what I'm talking about? Like the Billy Goat's Gruff.
Yeah.
Like, that's how they look.
We've had
it.
I like the pork dumpling. That is that is spot on.
Doesn't it look like that? Yeah, and it's a point of pride for them.
They're proud.
Look at his ear. Look at his ear. That thing looks like it's busting. It's gonna bust with gooiness any minute.
Put a little soy sauce on that.
It's a soy sauce.
Hot pocket. Every time I see their ears, I'll be sick. Yo, Colin McGregor, isn't that Ronda Rousey's boyfriend?
No.
There's another one that's Ronda Rousey's boyfriend. I got real tight with them, and
Are you into the sport? You into it just to begin with?
Yeah, man. I like UFC, dude. I'm sad that she lost again, man. I was rooting for her.
So what do you think the word is? They're saying that she's they don't think she's gonna go back to it. She's gonna retire.
What's she gonna do? Is she gonna be a librarian? What are you gonna do now?
Open up a chain of Ronda Rousey
restaurants?
Gyms, not restaurants.
Gyms?
Pork dumpling place.
Come on, man. You'd be like, yo, man, let me see. I'm going to show you how to get knocked out. I don't know.
Yeah, it was.
Ronda Rousey's great. I love her. She's dope.
Her boyfriend's name is Travis Brown.
Travis Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was so sad because, you know what I mean? I ain't going to lie to you people. I wanted to smash. I ain't even going to lie. You know what smash means, right?
Yeah.
Nah, smash, man. You wanted to no pull out. That's all I wanted to do.
Oh.
That's what I wanted to do to Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, we're going to have a super baby. It's going to be like all fit and it's going to do voices and be funny. Who's going to stop this kid? He can joke anybody. Because if they get mad, you just whoop their ass. Like, no problem. Can I say ass?
Yes,
I say
absolutely. Okay, yeah, you can say smash, you can say ass.
Well, smash is not really that bad.
Now, see, you know, in our vernacular, too, there's a little split, though, because taking a smash is taking a crap.
Never heard that.
Yeah.
Oh, these rock and roll terms. I love it.
But you go between hip hop and rock pretty well.
I do. Hey, man. Yeah. You know what? I'm a fan. You know, I'm so glad that the Smashing Pumpkins are having a reunion.
Yeah.
Really? I want to be at the show, man. Just the world is a vampire. Set to drain. That used to creep me out when I was a little kid, but now watching, I was like, oh, that was so awesome, bro. It was so dope. Like, what's his name? Billy Corgan.
Yeah,
man. And I feel a connection with Billy Corgan because
how so?
Because we both got our asses whipped by our fathers. So, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
why he made that song. Jesus was the only son for you. You think that comes with somebody with a nice house? No. That's somebody with some issues. He's got issues. Like, yo, he's saying that Jesus was the perfect son for his father.
Wow.
He couldn't, that's what he was
saying.
Dude,
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, life at home was similar for you?
Yeah, dude. Oh, man.
Dropping knowledge. Thank you.
I just get my, oh, man. But I love my pop, man. He's so funny. But back in the day, I think, I don't know.
Were you afraid? Was it a case where you were always afraid of him?
Oh, I was real afraid until I got taller.
Yeah.
I was like, things going to change around here.
Do you remember that first time when you realized, I can take my father?
Taller than him. I still can't take him. He'll shoot me in my kneecap. That's where I got it, bro.
That's where you got that training.
That's where I got that training. But no, I remember when I got taller than him, he was standing on his tippy toes and all of the pitches trying to look taller. I was like, sit down, Hobbit. Just get out.
It's a bittersweet thing because you've looked up to your dad for so long and then you say,
it's the same thing like when you're younger and your dad takes a shower with you and you're like, wow, this thing is huge. And you get older and you're like, wait, we the same size. You know what I'm saying?
You were taking showers with your dad when you got older?
Hey, man. No, not when I got older. I just saw it. Like, I walked in. I was like, wait, the mammoth. That's not a mammoth.
You don't go back and go, pop, for old time's sake. Let's take a shower.
Hey, man. I know I'm 29, but let's take the shower real quick. Nothing weird. I'm just trying to relive some of my childhood.
Just make sure my junk's bigger.
Yeah.
Jay,
I'm looking at your Instagram account right now.
Oh,
and the profile pic that you have is, are you doing like a Bill Cosby face in that? Is that what that is?
You know what? I kind of was doing it a little bit, just looking up. Just doing it like this. And then I guess I was doing the Eddie Murphy doing the Bill Cosby thing.
Okay, Eddie Murphy doing the... All right, yeah.
But, you know, that's a nice... That is a nice picture right there.
It is.
It's so inviting. Well, my other one looked like a UFC picture. Like, I was going to kick your ass. Like, a couple years ago, the picture that they used to use,
I'll tell you what, man. I love what you are very active on Instagram.
You
do a lot of crowd work. You get shots of the audience at your shows.
Yeah.
And it's just, you do it right. You use it, you promote it in a way that's not like Jesus Christ, enough already. It's, right. It's fun. It's engaging.
And I'm like, yo, man, we got another one. We got another standing ovation. Bow. Let's do it. I have fun with my crowd, man. Literally. It's one of the fun. It's one of the most fun live shows you'll ever see. You haven't seen me in 3 years, right?
Yeah.
Good mm-hmm. God, man.
Let's take it back a little bit because the SNL thing happened.
Right.
So, okay, once and for all, was that a termination or were you leaving? Because I know you're working on this show, this Jamie Foxx produced show.
Yeah, I got White Famous, and you know they
that's the name of the show is White Famous.
Yeah, they weren't up to work with the schedule of it, and you know they were like, "Well, you go ahead and do that." I was like, "All right, well, cool, I'm out, bye."
Well, and so it's totally cool, congenial.
It's no bad blood between SNL.
To be honest, I thought this honestly. We said right from the get go when you first came on the show, I was like, this guy is amazing. I
mean, thank you, man.
And not only just, you weren't just impressions, the comedic acting was there. That was all solid. So it was weird that they didn't, you know, the old classic SNL thing, they didn't use you a lot.
Yeah.
They did, you got locked into the Obama thing.
Yeah. But here's the thing, though, and I think it started happening last year. I did that comedians meeting.
Yeah, which is very funny.
Yeah, well, thank you, man. And then it got like, they put it on Global. They didn't put it on Global, but Global TV put it up, and it got like 33 million hits.
Yeah.
Now, that's more than anything that they get on YouTube or anything. So
right.
It might have been like, wait a minute. Wait a minute, why is he getting these numbers? Why aren't we getting these numbers? Damn it, we got to get Pharaoh out. It could have been something like that, but it was just, you know, my stuff pops, man. When I put something up, it just pops if people let me do what I do.
Right,
you know
right.
So, I mean, you know, you could could be threatening or whatever, what have you, but, you know.
There's such a fascination, Jay, with SNL. You'll always be part of that.
Definitely.
That community and that whole thing. But, you know, as it's, we always get the impression, because we had John Renitsky in his, and he was like a flash, and the guy was in, he was excited, he was thrilled, and they got rid of him, and then Taron killed him.
I just talked to him yesterday.
Yeah.
My homeboy. Shout out to Taron Killen.
it was weird, but, I mean, they do say, everyone says it's tough getting stuff on.
Yeah.
It's very cutthroat.
It's very political over there. You know, they have their favorites, you know, that they play to. And, you know, they have the people that, you know, are able, and they'll just be like, well, we don't know. Don't you know?
Everybody, right.
People are laughing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a skit, this world star hip hop skit.
I know. Hang on. It's a little distracting. With the ladies of the Gold Club, I saw a nipple behind you. That's why I was looking over that way, Jay.
Jay's having a good time.
I'm just over here. I was like, y'all don't know how much porn I watch, do you?
Kitty and Mandy are mounting each other on our
they doing something. This is a this is a snow mountain over here. this is cold mountain over here. This is butt on top of... Okay, now you're pulling it down. Okay, all right. That's what's up. Let me stop talking. I know some of my church members probably listening.
Jay, I have a question.
What's doing? Well, you were saying something about a skit.
Right. I said I had this skit, No. Let me give you a chunk of information.
Okay.
That is very, very prolific. Okay. Now, in 2009, I did this character called Chuck Obama.
Mm-hmm.
That's Barack Obama's subconscious.
Choco Mama,
right? Great. Great concept. Everything the president is thinking,
yeah.
He wants to say, but he can't say it.
Sounds right? Very familiar.
Came 2010, got on SNL, presented it to them. Hey, man, I got this idea. I think it could be really dope. I think it will pop. It's funny. Well, we don't know. We kind of did the Barack Obama. I was like, but it's not the same thing, though. I was like, look, I don't even have to do the voice. I just want to do the sketch with Fred.
Yeah.
I said, just let me be his subconscious. It will work. No, we don't know. We don't know. Talk to Fred. Fred, love everybody on the show. I said, man, what do you feel? Well, I don't know. I don't feel really comfortable. I said, all right, cool. 2011 came. What happened?
Key and Peele.
Angry translator. Huge. Swear to God. Swear. It went, and now it got nominated for what? It got nominated for
an Emmy. Yeah. And for writing. All that
missed
stuff.
Missed a chunk. Like, if we would have done that
it's
in
gotta
2010,
kill you. It's got to kill you.
Like,
Man.
I was like, yo, I had Pillsy, the Pillsbury Doughboy. He was like Pillsbury Doughboy, but he was burnt. Yeah. So he had like Tourette syndrome or something like that. So he was like Pryor. So I had the Pryor voice to him and everything.
They'd be like, I don't want you touching my ass, because if you touch me, there's going to be some problems. What you think, I'm a cookie, bitch? I ain't no cookie.
And then they were like, yeah, we don't know.
Oh, man.
I was like, dude, these were like the early years. This was like the first. I had like.
Jesus Christ.
I pitched so much stuff.
Why would you pass on that? Is it because you were new and they just, you know.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So who says no when you come up with the Pillsbury Doughboy skit and then it's hilarious and it's making you laugh?
It's the writers. I mean, is it the writers or is it more of a production type thing? Like the people who kind of are like right under Lorne?
Do you know what the bitch of it though, Jay? Is that the show's been on for decades. It's a juggernaut. And you can't say, well, I can help you get popular. It already is.
Yeah.
So everybody's got their thing and they got the right to it.
Yeah.
But you wonder about how many great bits might have been missed over the years.
Yeah.
Because they've gone through some lean times where the critics and the viewers are like, this is not working.
Right.
You know, and it's a tough deal. But so now you got the thing with Jamie Foxx.
Yeah. White Famous.
And where does that stand? I knew it was green lit and ready to go. Where is it about to start?
We're getting all the writers together right now. But man, I think in the next few months we're gonna start shooting it.
Excellent.
If you're just jumping in as Jay Farrow, who's
and I'm starring in it.
Now with that, are you playing Jamie Foxx or a Jamie Foxx like character?
It's not gonna be an impression of Jamie Foxx or any of those folks. It's the story of all of the young black comedians that were on the Chitlin circuit who were trying to break into the industry.
Wow,
that's what it is. Like I did the same thing. Like I was on the Chitlin circuit doing those doing shows at restaurants like Queen of the Sea. Where you got like 100 Jamaicans looking at you like, you better be funny, boy. You're like, yeah, I better be, because you can do this thing called blood clot. I said, what is a blood clot? And why are you blood clotting me? I don't like that. Like I know medical terms, and a blood clot, there's never anything good about a blood clot. So what are you gonna do to me? Well, you better be funny, boy. You better say something, no. You're not talk boy, you're chat boy, no? You're not saying something that we're like, well, yeah, yeah, yeah. We're like, yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. It's, I'm telling you, man. So I used to do that. Like Jamie Foxx did it. Kev did it. We all did. It's legendary. So it's that story. And it's like everybody has stories combined.
Like, is it like a single camera, or is it like a Arrested Development type thing?
Have you seen Californication?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like that.
Same deal.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's the series, man. And it's something, you know, you get good acting chops in there. You get comedy. I get to do stand up in the beginning, like I'm Seinfeld kind of. You know what I mean? So it uses all the elements.
Oh, man, really, it sounds great. Yeah.
Doing that circuit with a lot of the other guys, you have that in common with you. I remember years ago reading about some comedy club or something somewhere where they would put you up in a place that's above the club for the night or something like that. Can you talk to these other guys and say, yeah, man, remember staying at so-and-so and blah, 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 and all that?
Let's see here. I can talk about rooms that have been done, like the Comedy House. I think they shut that one down. Yeah. But, damn, they wanted me to stay at this Travel Lodge in Onacock, and I was like, well, no, F that. Because, it was like you walked in the room, and the bed, there was, like, stains on the bed.
No, you can't stay, really?
Nah, uh-uh. My parents were like, no, we driving back tonight. That's when they used to like drive with me and my sister.
No kidding.
Yeah, but they'll try to put you in some weird conditions.
Yeah,
and I'm like, yo, dog, like, hey, I don't like this. Like, I need some Minute Maid. You know what I'm saying?
That continental breakfast.
You want to feel like they care about you. I did stand up for a little bit of time.
Yeah,
and I remember there was one club where the guy would feed the comedians, but there would be three sandwiches that they would make, like a chicken, a ham, and everyone, like the comedians, you'd have to race to the club to get the sandwich you wanted, because that's all they was going to make. You couldn't order off the menu. There were just three sandwiches sitting there for your arrival, and that was the big thing. So in a lot of ways, comedians coming up are treated like cattle.
Yeah. Now I'm like, yo, I need Whole Foods.
I need that Whole Foods. Stay so ripped, right?
I need quinoa chips. I need quinoa pop chips, and I need a whole bunch. And I need throat spray. I need vocal spray.
Right.
I need the herbal vocal spray. And I need some ginger shots. Get on that. If that's not in my dressing room, I'm not performing. I'm not going on stage.
With the voices and everything you do, and the mic technique is so important, do you travel with your own mic? Microphone? Do you travel with
my own mic? No, but I make sure I have this thing called oregano oil that I take. You know what I mean? Because I do a lot with my voice. I had a cartoon that I do, Legends of Chamberlain Heights. I do that on Cartoon Network. You know what I mean? I'm in video. I'm in Call of Duty. I did sing.
Yeah,
I'm the grandpa elephant in that.
Yeah,
yeah. People didn't know that joyous elephant.
He wasn't. That's you.
Yeah, that's me. I was a joyous fat ass.
What are you in Call of Duty?
Huh? Call of Duty, I'm Andre.
No kidding.
Yeah, man.
Wow.
You can play with me. So, you know, it's kind of cool, too, because now if I get my character, I'm like, yo, I can't lose. But if it's anybody else, I'm like, yeah, you'll die.
Are you a gamer yourself?
Yeah, man.
Is Call of Duty your game?
Call of Duty. No, this is my first time playing Call of Duty. I'm more of like an adventure-type game, like Lord of the Rings and things of that sort. I keep staring back and looking at these
fine
butt cheeks.
Yes, yeah.
No, I'm sorry.
So you're like an RPG guy. You like to play Lord of the Rings game series. Lord of the Rings, damn good.
The damn Shadow of Mordor. That's one of the best games.
It's amazing,
ever, dog. Like you get to hunt the orcs and you get to like execute them. And you know what I mean? The little ugly faces. So just imagine. I just think about my old boss from Golden Corral and like.
You were Golden Corral?
Yeah, I worked at Golden Corral with my fat ass. I worked over there. It was crazy, man. I'm not fat now. I'm just
fat. No, wait. Why do you think of your boss when you're playing the Lord of the Rings?
Because, man, he yelled at me one time, and he looked like an orc. And I just envisioned his face on all of them, and I just be like, yeah, the F you, Mr. Davis. Like, I just take
Mr.
him out.
Mr. Davis.
Mr. Davis.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was fat. He had, like, five chins. He smelled like cheese.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, that bitch. don't like Mr. Davis around here. We don't play. I like how everything I say, y'all put it up on this board right here.
Yeah.
That's dope as hell. So if I start saying something really graphic, we got to go there.
Go ahead. Throw it up there.
If I say two porn stars, then you got to put that up there. If I say stockings category, then you got to click on that. If I say up the minute, oh, sweetheart, you like stockings? She turned around and looked at me.
She was like, yeah, I put on thigh highs.
Thigh highs are sexy. Them things are, woo! God dang it. Every time, if you like that, I like you. That's why I like women over 30, because they got a full lingerie closet full of frilly stuff. They got robes and little slippers, and then you get the feathers. They be tickling you, and they be walking down the staircase with a cup of brandy in one hand and a life insurance policy in the other. Oh, snap! God dang!
We got it up there for
man.
You.
Oh, man. I see beaver. I'm a beaver. I'm seeing it. God dang. Look at that. So, yeah that's my thing. I don't know how I talked about my thing.
But are you a butt man? You mentioned butts twice on these.
Oh, I like legs. I'm a like leg dude, man.
Yeah. We had a survey yesterday.
Yeah. Legs yesterday. And
butts. They said that actually butts rate higher than legs actually get short shrift. Butts are high.
Yeah.
But boobs are not.
Yeah, it doesn't, you know, boobs, you know, you could, oh, Lord, you just, your stuff is popping out the top. That looked like a chicken pot pie. How the hell? Breast coming out the top look like a chicken pot pie.
Should we show her what like, she can do with it?
Yes,
them?
Yeah.
All right, didn't we have stickers beforehand so she could put,
do
we have bumper stickers?
Oh,
yeah,
put stickers? Don't Barbie her. No, Barbie don't got no nipples. You ever notice that? She's got no nipples. How does she breastfeed?
She's got no nipples. This is we're gonna get bumper stickers.
Yeah, this is Mandy. Mandy from the Gold Club. She does a little trick.
Oh, all right.
Just to welcome you to town, Jay,
with her
after
bibbies.
3 years.
Yeah.
So we'll get her over there in just a moment. Get that set up. And by the way, you know what? I could do some.
Hey, you got a picture of Barbie up there. She's got no nipples. She's got none. Can I get one nipple? Like, god dang, you put it. Can I fling something
in the middle?
Like in the middle. Like that's just a button. You could put push here or something. You know what I mean? Something a nipple.
Okay, so we got Mandy, come over here to this microphone.
Wow.
Can you pull that chair out of the way? Yeah.
Right, so. Mandy be getting it popping. Yeah,
yeah, you approve.
Mandy works at the Gold Club, and Mandy does this.
Is that a strip club, sweetheart? What
it's
is
a,
it?
It's a, it is.
A okay. Gentleman's club is, oh. The, yeah, is the PC.
I
club.
Like how she looked, and she put a tongue out. She was like, mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
All right, Jay, you ready for this?
It's always invisible here. It's right here.
And what's great about this is a, our listening audience can enjoy this as well, because this makes sound.
But they ain't seeing what I'm seeing.
Yeah. Okay, all right, you ready? Manny, go for it. Here we go.
Gosh.
Here we
go. Is that Morse code? Yeah. That's Morse code. Yes, I am doing it. Yes, yes, it's good. Let me see if I can do that. Hold on. Let me pack up.
Get your pecs together, man.
It ain't working.
No.
There's a gap.
Do it one more time.
Show them how to do it, Manny. One more time.
Is that wild?
I do it with my mouth. I can't do it now.
Thank you, Mandy.
Thanks, Mandy. Oh, Lord.
Come see her at the Gold Club.
Yeah, yeah. See at the Gold Club, man. That's how we doing this morning. Her chest just said, bravo.
You're good, though, man. You threw on those air brakes right at 10.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I'm not trying to get y'all off the air. Listen, I used to work at radio. I know what not to say, what to say. College radio. I used to work there.
What's up? I want to ask because last time you were here three years ago.
Yeah, what?
Back over here. Three years ago when you stopped in, we asked you about the impressions that you do.
Of course.
And I think that Will Smith really didn't appreciate your impression of him. Has that changed?
He didn't. I don't know. I haven't talked to him since then.
Okay.
You don't really sound like me. That's a lie.
Yes, I
sound just like you, dude. No, you don't. Okay, shoot. You know, I'm looking back, you know, Jaden, he gets a little weird, you know what I mean? He used to have Barbie dolls, used to braid the hair, you know what I'm saying? We just thought he was artistic. Yeah. That's not the case. Yo, I got a question. Yeah. Did y'all see that Shia LaBeouf video where he was at the He Will Not Divide Us?
Yes, and he was throttling a protester.
Yeah.
And he got arrested.
The thing that makes me laugh is, like, at, like, 50 or, like, 49 seconds, the guy, like, takes his finger and goes like this on his beard.
Yeah.
And he smells it. He was like, dude, your beard smells like cheese.
I didn't see that.
If you look at it again, and, like, Shia LaBeouf, like, he's doing this thing, like, it's almost as if he had the 8 Mile soundtrack in his head.
His palms are sweaty, knees weak, mom's spaghetti to serve. Look at him!
Yo, he will not divide us, yeah! It's like, he's like that one kid in school that was like, yo, hit me on my mama. If you hit me, it's going down in this bitch, son. Hit me. I swear to God, hit me. You'd be like, yo, if you hit him, he'd be like, yo, I didn't think you were going to do it. That's like, Sean, look at him. Yo, if you do that, if you had one. Oh, snap. Yo, seriously, y'all got to put this together. It'll go viral. I swear. I don't want the hit. Just do it. This is hilarious. And look at him. He's like the puniest dude. Like, that dude failed every physical fitness test. And he's just, like, on him. Just, like, he looks like a rooster. Like, he's waiting. He's like, cop. He's fucking trying to get up. Oh, my gosh. And then the dude touched, he started doing it. He was like, he will not divide us. Okay, y'all can't. The joy that I have right now for watching that.
We hear.
Oh, my. And he knocked the paper out of his hand. Yo, Shia LaBeouf, he goes hard. Yo, he needs a teardrop. Yo, get him a teardrop. Get a teardrop on his face. He goes hard. He's the hardest one.
What do you think of his rap? Have you heard him rap?
Oh, I think he's dope.
Do you really?
Yeah, have you heard? You saw mine.
What? No. Yes.
Yeah.
I did.
That joint went viral. Yeah, man.
Oh.
Yeah, no, but I think I think Ashley is kind of cool that he kind of broke it open for people who are actors and want to do other stuff.
He just annoys me, though, so much with that.
Yeah, well, you know, you take the good and the bad, yeah. And then you got Trump. Yeah. Let's talk about something negative. Florida. I can't stand. I'm sorry. Florida, oh, my gosh. Oh, that place. Nothing good about it. You go down there, you got to worry about Zika, racism, pregnancy. Why would you go down there?
Pregnancy.
Why would you go down there? Why pregnancy?
Because, man, you ain't going to pull out. Look at them. They look great. I see the Cubano mommies. They start feeling on you. They start touching your abs or your roll, whatever
yeah.
you have.
Yeah.
They start feeling on you and say, "Hey, papi, I like you.
You can't.
It's over. Yeah. You can't pull out of that.
There's a baby.
Yeah. It's over. That's 18 years. Take it. Take my seed. You have my seed. Take it.
Oh, my God.
How do you avoid? You're a single guy, right?
I am.
How do you slalom? How do you keep from getting in trouble?
I just, you know what, man? I'm not that active in the community.
Wow.
I'm not that active. I'm scared. And if I am active, you know, you got to cover it up.
Yeah. So you're a smart man.
I'll take it out quick. You ain't getting this. You know what I'm saying? I'll pull it out. I'm like, mine. No. It's mine. You can't have it. You can't have it. No. It's mine. That's how I am to women. Like, okay, it's yours. The girl tell me, like, go, do it in for what? For what? I'm not. No. You know what happens if I do that? Then you'd be looking like Beyonce. You'd be putting pictures up. I don't want that to happen. Shout out to Beyonce. I feel like if you slept with Beyonce, that it would cure any disease that you had. Mm-hmm. That's how
really?
I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
She's medicinal.
Yeah, she's medicinal box. That's a medicinal box.
That's a medicinal box.
Hey, look, there's nothing. I could have been saying anything box. You can say toolbox. You can say whatever. Look at this here. Look at her.
Yeah.
Look, Beyonce said, F it. Ain't nobody going to be talking about, I got a surrogate this time. That's why she's doing all these pictures and stuff and taking the shirt off and posing. She looks beautiful.
She does.
Very beautiful mama. What if it's not Jay-Z's, though? Wouldn't that be weird?
Oh.
Like, what if it's mine? I would hope so, man.
Then we're getting your ass back here in 9 months.
Jay-Z hits me up. He's like, "Yo, my man, yo, I know you did something. What did you do? Yo, did you do it? Yeah, because, you know, I'm very emotional about that. That's my wife. Well, she had one, man. You know, she made the whole Lemonade album based off of what happened with you. So she had one. So yeah. I guess I was her one.
She gets your one, yeah.
Yeah.
And fair is fair.
I can be Jay-Z. I'm just a lot darker than he is. That's all. That's the difference. I'm chocolate Jay-Z. I'm Jay-Z after he done fell inside of the Willy Wonka chocolate factory. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm Jay-Z. Like, you ever seen Suicide Squad?
Yeah.
You seen that part with Jared Leto when he let Margot off in the acid?
Yeah.
That's imagine a tub of chocolate and imagine me jumping in there. And imagine me coming out like, "Hey, it's your boy." Yeah, that's me. That's all me. Imagine Jay doing that, coming out. That's me. That's who I am. She looks happy.
She does look happy.
She looks happy now. She was pissed off for a minute.
Jay, we're so glad you came back in.
Now, I'm glad I came too.
Appreciate it.
I'm glad I came, but I didn't, you know.
Yeah, we got you.
I understand.
You know what I'm saying?
Let's hear it for Jay Farrow, everybody. Thank you, man. Enjoy your time in Philly, all right?
Nah, man, thank you.
You got it, man.
That was fun.
Be back in a moment.
Like what you hear? You can see it too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush at PrestonandSteve.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
It's brought to you by Verizon. Horizon, stay cool with double tune-up savings. Get Horizon's AC tune-up for just $59 and your fall heating tune-up for $39. HorizonServices.com.
A Connecticut-based truck driver has been effectively shut down by the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration after he was involved in a small vehicle rollover accident in Vermont. Alan R. Johnson Sr. told state police that he had set the cruise control in the truck to 63 miles per hour.
All right.
And then he stood up to change his pants.
So he stood up to change his pants in a moving vehicle.
A report of the crash indicated that Johnson's blood alcohol level was 0.209.
Oh, well, that might have had something to do with it.
Approximately five times the legal limit for truck drivers. Johnson was charged with driving under the influence while operating a commercial motor vehicle and negligent operation and is set to appear in court. It makes you wonder, though, how many times he successfully changed his pants.
Just changed my pants, well, driving along in my truck.
Driving a truck. So he is in some trouble.
I'm sorry, what's the legal level for truck drivers? Shouldn't it be 0.0?
I don't know.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, man.
But it was 0.209. It was five times, so do the math, Gabe.
Do the math. I'm looking to carry the two. All right, good.
Mother...
0.04.
I saw the video this morning of this. It's pretty wild. Mother Nature didn't care that it was a cross-country runner's final race of his college career. Justin DeLuzio, who is a senior at Gwinnett Mercy University, was running Saturday in the NCAA Division III Mideast Regional Cross Country Championship at DeSales University in Center Valley when he was actually trampled by a deer that ran across the course. Steve, it hit him like a freight train.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Was it like a big buck?
I don't know. I couldn't tell. It was too far away. But it was going really, really fast. Steve, watch the video.
Bam! Oh.
He gets nailed. A teammate helped him back to his feet and accompanied him as he finished the race.
That's hilarious.
DeLuzio was bruised and sore, but otherwise okay. So who knows, man? He goes to Gwinnett Mercy. He might listen to the show.
He does.
Does he?
Yeah, I got an email from a nice lady named Elizabeth McClaverty, and she said that the...
Oh, it's Beth. That's Beth Gardner.
Beth Gardner?
Yeah, Elizabeth. Her married name is McClaverty.
A nice lady named Elizabeth.
I'll stop now.
Anyhow, what did she have to say?
A nice old lady. That's hilarious.
She said that, he listens.
He listens to the show.
Well, as it turns out, I got an email from the deer, Preston. And,
congratulations, Justin DeLuzio. You made it to the Bizarre File. Yeah.
Nice work.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Beth.
Police said a man stole a valuable coin collection from his father and then put it through a Coinstar machine at a supermarket in order to get money to buy crack cocaine.
Oh my God.
What an a-hole.
It's almost like he's addicted to it.
You got something in your mouth?
What are you having?
Your mom's boobs.
Good one.
Your mom's boobs.
I don't know.
Okay.
French fries. Now,
we've gone into that say anything mode.
Dude, he had, I mean, like, you know, John Kruk when he had chaw in his mouth?
Yeah.
That's what he looked like when he goes, oh, man. That's why I said you got anything in your mouth. Moving on. Police said that Leonard Rinaldi was arrested on larceny charges in connection with the theft of thousands of dollars worth of valuable coins from his father. The coins, worth $8,000, reportedly stolen on October 11th. Police said Rinaldi told them that he stole the coins, took them to a Coinstar machine at a Stop and Shop, and received approximately $60.
$8,000 down to $60. Oh, the crack he could have smoked.
He then told police that he used the money to buy crack cocaine. Police said that he has a lengthy criminal record. He was living at home with his father at the time of the theft.
How old is he?
I don't know.
He looks like he's in his...
Oh, he's 53.
He's living at home with Pop?
He's a crackhead.
That's my son. He's a crackhead.
Authorities said that they have video of Rinaldi at the Coinstar machine and that many of the coins that were not rejected by the machine because of their silver content have been recovered. Police said they don't know where the rejected coins ended up. Rinaldi is being held on $10,000 bond and is due to be back in court December 14th to enter a plea. So they got most of them back.
Son, I took away your Xbox and your crack pipe.
Mm-hmm. Giant mutant rats have left the residents of Gravesend in Kent, England, terrified. Some of the rats have been measured up to 17 inches long.
That's Holy huge. Crap.
And they've been swarming around the homes and kitchens of those in the neighborhood. Residents say they feel powerless as the giant creatures move indoors to escape cold weather. One resident who saw a rat in his home said it was massive.
Yeah, I'm a rat.
He said, I'm not joking. It was like a three-month-old puppy or something. And oh, I've never seen anything
you know what, though?
Quite like it.
I've seen, you do the subways, and you'll see some big-ass rats down there.
Yeah, I've never seen. I've seen video. And
Penn Station has, like, Clydesdale rats.
Yeah, I've never seen them in person.
They skeeve me out almost as much as possums.
Oh, yeah?
They're so gross. But that one scene in the Vacation movie.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got the rat on his shoulder. It's so funny.
Yep. I like your rat. What?
All right, and that's what I have for you in the Bizarre File this morning. We'll be back in just a moment. You'll have to wait and see.
MMR's Saturday Night Concert Series, an hour-long concert made up of the best live performances ever captured.
MMR rocks.
The Rolling Stones in concert Saturday night at 7. Jonesing for live music, and this should help. So hit the backyard, get the tailgate started, and crank up MMR night this summer at 7. It's MMR's Saturday Night Concert Series.
Sponsored by Acme Markets, official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show.
This week, the Rolling Stones.
93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
What's happening, Steve?
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to give a shout out to everybody. You know, everybody's pretty hurt. You know, Jake was a great guy. You know, and like I was saying before, you know, you had Rad and Dwayne, the bartenders there. Those guys were absolutely amazing. It was a college bar, absolutely, but it was more than that. I mean, you had just everyone in town and from far and away going to this place, you know, and enjoying themselves. And when you walked in there, Raz knew who you were.
All right, you
go in there.
So, Ziggy, hang on a second. So, not just it wasn't just a student bar. It was a neighborhood bar, too, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I'm saying was as if it's gone. It's still there.
Still there. But you know what? That's a question. Everybody's wondering who. I'm pretty sure Dwayne still works there. I think Dwayne was a son-in-law of his. And everyone's wondering who then now, you know, who inherits the bar, who's going to get it, who's going to run it.
I believe there was Raz, and I don't know. You know, I don't know.
I don't know is the other guy.
Yeah,
happen. And then who's on first?
Yeah. But you know, what I can speak of is that you know me and a handful of guys that you know we worked, you know, together for years, and that's where we went. You know, this one time I got married. And that's where we went. That's where we started.
So this one time I got married.
One time you got married.
And I promised my heart and soul to this woman this one time. But that didn't work out.
We started there at 7, and it was some kind of hurricane or some craziness. We wound up staying there for God knows how long.
You don't remember if there was a hurricane during your wedding?
I forget. It was in New Orleans. Okay. A long time ago. Yeah, right. Break, bro. Yes.
Yeah. You spent a lot of time at Jake's, didn't you?
That.
Yeah, no problem. So there's one time I think I got married during a hurricane.
Are you sure your name is Ziggy and this isn't
Jason?
Yeah.
It's definitely Jason.
Put Jason back on the phone. Yeah.
You know what, though? That was
Thank you, Ziggy.
Jake's was the place. That's when it would
get... helpful hardware, man.
No, Casey, that's when it would get packed and you wouldn't be able to get in is if there was any type of severe weather, snow, you know, heavy rain, whatever it was. Jake's was the place because, you know, some of the other places were like dance bars, you know, stuff like that. This was just go sit all day. You don't know what time it is because there's no windows. And that was that.
I love places like that. There was we lived in Massapequa, Long Island, right across from our apartment was a place called Porky's Pub. And it was that place. It was on the weekends. It'd be the younger clientele during the week. There'd be day drinkers in there. You'd walk by at like 11 o'clock and there'd be some guy going, there's damn Koreans. Yeah. And so there was always something. But what character this place has?
So, there's a place near me that, believe it or not, I've never been to, but.
Right near you?
I know that there's going to be a collective gasp when I say the name of this place, but I've never been to Duke's, and it's in Springfield. I know. And people that are listening are like, you've never been? I've walked past there. I've driven past there. But that is, like, the place that everybody goes to, either before, during, or after some sort of a special event.
Isn't Casey's? I hear that name thrown around Casey's a lot in Delco.
Well, that's like more of like a Bonner Upper Darby bar.
Yeah,
my brother and
there's more than one Casey's too. They're not all owned by the same person, but there's several Casey's in and around
Ziggy
the area.
But the big one is the Bonner Upper Darby one. But there is a Casey's on Westchester Pike. But
there's one in Berwyn as well.
Is there? Okay. Yeah.
Do you know what's the worst though? When a chain attempts to act as if it's a, you know what I'm saying? Like they're looking for that local dive bar feel, but it's
when Applebee's wants to be your hometown bar.
Well, no, that's
like
fine.
That,
but there are other like smaller. They're trying to prefab. They're trying to make it something that it's.
Yeah.
They're trying to force it to be that. It doesn't quite work.
I'm going to go to Nick. Hi, Nick. Good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's up, man?
So there's the epitome of a dive bar in a really small town that I'm from, up in Garwood, New Jersey. It's called The Rest. And if you go in and say, hey, give me a Budweiser, it's $2. If you say Budweiser, it's $1. But if you say, hey, can I please have a Budweiser, it's only 50 cents.
No. I love that. That's great.
What's the name of this place?
It's called The Rest.
The Rest. R-E-S-T.
Yeah, it's awesome. And, like, you know, everything's served in, like, the small little mugs. They have the pool table that costs 75 cents, but the machine's broken. It is the epitome of a dive bar.
All right.
I love that.
Thanks, man. Yeah, there was a place in St. Louis called the Cat's Meow, and it was they had all these ceramic cats all over the place, and it was literally like two blocks down from the Budweiser Brewery, the St. Louis, Anheuser-Busch, the gigantic brewery. But they didn't sell that there. They sold Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Right, two blocks away from the brewery?
And it was their kind of FU to the brewery or something like
really?
That.
Really?
And there were these two old ladies that were the perennials that were there, and they were nasty, they were mean, you know, it was that type of thing, but that was part of the
were they dancers?
No. But they were just regulars. They sat at the end of the bar, and they would
they were
cantankerous, and oh my God, you found a picture of it, get out of here. But they were part of the appeal to the place.
Yeah, sure.
That's what I'm talking about.
It wasn't just the bar itself. It was the people that were there. And these two ladies were kind of
fixtures.
Locally known fixtures. Yeah, exactly.
You know what? At Jake's, you'd occasionally see some of the regulars in there that weren't college students. But I think that they knew to kind of stay away during the college kid times.
Okay.
There was, was there a lot of pickups going on there? Was it a hookup bar?
It was so jammed. If you could, like, get to the person at the other side of Jake's, maybe, but...
Yeah, somebody texted in, Kathy, said that they would go to Jake's during the day to get their drink on, and then they go to the Rat to hook up at the end of the night.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Right,
let me go to Chaz. Hey, Chaz, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. I just want to help clear a little thing up. Raz is Jake's son.
He
is the owner of the bar now. This has been a transition going on for about 2 years. Jake has not been well. This is not a surprise that he passed. The bar is not going anywhere.
So does Dwayne still work there?
Yes, Dwayne still works there. Dwayne's son works there. It's very much a neighborhood bar for a lot of us. I grew up, I'm 38, and been going there since I was 21.
Wow.
I worked overnights when I first started going there, and during the day, it's just as packed as it is at night. All the third shifters, all the nurses from the hospital, all the people that work at QVC overnight. But, Raz is the owner, and it should not be going anywhere.
That's cool. That's great.
Do you know how long it's been Jake's?
It's been Jake's about 37 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
All roughly. Right. Man, that's amazing.
There's many articles out there about it. But, yeah, I'm old enough to remember when it was 50 cents and getting upset when they raised the price of a mug of beer. But...
We will not stand for this.
Thanks, Chaz. Appreciate it.
$1?
It was a big deal when they raised the price.
Here's Kathy's commencement speech at Westchester University. What year did you do this, Kathy?
I think it was 2013.
Okay, and this is her comment about that.
So many fond memories rushed back to me as I toured the campus and the town yesterday and this morning. From the new dormitories and academic buildings to the revitalized Gay Street, there was one thing that really stuck out to me. Dollar beers at Jake's. What happened to 50 cents all day, every day?
They love that.
Yeah.
Wow. Let me go.
Thank you. Thank you. That's kind of what it sounded like. You brought me back. Why is he there?
So Westchester definitely had Jake. So do we know anything about the other universities around? Does Villanova have its
Villanova,
the place.
Well, it used to be Smoky Joe's.
Was that right down by the Blue Route?
That was on Route 30 side. In Wayne, and so a lot of Nova kids went
in
there.
Wayne.
In Wayne, yeah. But now I think a lot of them go to the Grog, a lot go to Kelly's.
I've been to the Grog. Brick?
The Grog is
the
good.
The Brick is off of 320, if I want to say.
Yeah, but is it still the Brick?
I don't think it is, Casey. Okay. I drove past, because that's close to Bryn Mawr Hospital, so I drove past there
That's a bit of a haul, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
The Grog is down a ways.
So what I don't know is if you're on Nova's campus, where do you walk to get a drink?
Is it Kelly's?
Because that really
there was a place that I went usually, to.
A lot of people go to Kelly's, but I don't think you can walk there from Nova's campus.
See that was the thing with Jake. That was the thing with Jake's and the Rat. It was no matter where you were, they were situated where you could walk to it.
Okay,
and that's everything.
Yeah. Do we know if St. Joe's has a
used
a place?
To be the Muddy Duck, but that's not around.
That's
anymore.
Closed.
Yeah,
that sucks.
And
what was a place? Was there a place right on City Line? Was that it?
That was the Muddy Duck.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Oh, the Filthy Whore.
Filthy Whore was there.
Muddy Duck. Yeah, yeah. That's another name for
the
Filthy Whore. Look at her. She's a Muddy Duck.
Go to the Whore tonight.
Yeah.
But I feel bad for
And then Temple obviously has to have a couple of spots.
Well, yeah, theirs was, oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah, that little.
The Draft Horse. I don't know if that's
there was
there
one. Isn't it I feel like it's Macy's or like.
The department store?
Macy's. No, like a woman's name.
Well, they're going to Macy's after.
Yeah.
Going to buy some scarves.
Oh, what is it called?
The Draft Horse is right around the corner from the Leah Chorus Center.
I used to go to a place called Murphy's in off of Penn's campus because you could get in if you didn't have a you could have like your high school ID and like write the number 21 on there. I'm like, yeah, you're good. Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, there were those places that were like, dude, they'll let you in.
Uh-huh. Oh, they were a member of the Mary Marvel Marching Society.
Yes, come on in.
Yeah, there were bars that that people I went to high school with when they were in high school would go to in and around the Penn area. There was one. Oh, gosh.
I'm in Ronald's French Fry Club.
Hi. I think they called it the karaoke bar. I don't know what it was called, but literally juniors and seniors in high school were going there.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
St. Joe's bought the Muddy Duck case, and they turned it into a bookstore.
That you know what? That's what happened. No, that's what happened with the Rat, too.
Really?
Yeah.
It's now the Muddy Book.
The university purchased it. Mm-hmm.
We're running this place out of here.
Seriously.
Wow. May I quote the Bible? And they danced.
All right, hang on.
Duck.
Maureen knows the places. Hi, Maureen. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, what's up, Maureen?
I went to Villanova, and I grew up in the area, and I bartended at pretty much every bar up and down the main line in the 80s and 90s.
All right. So what would you say, what would be the equivalent? What's a kind of the hole-in-the-wall place that a lot of the kids go to?
Kelly's was always the closest place. You could walk there. It didn't change its taps. Probably for like 25 years. Beer was nasty. People wrote on the walls. It was always packed.
Yep.
Back in the 80s, there was Barleycorns in Bryn Mawr, which was really fun. And then Marita's was right down the street. Marita's would have Jello Rock Night. And they were like the two really cool places.
Where is Kelly's?
It's on.
Kelly's is on Lancaster Avenue in Rosemont.
Okay.
Yeah, it's right near Galifty's. You know where that is?
Oh, right there. Yes, I know.
Yeah,
well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Kelly's is still there. They revitalized it. Now it's kind of like a more family-friendly bar.
Yeah, it's too nice.
The thing with Villanova, though, that's still a bit of a walk from the campus.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we used to do the senior crawl, and we would start out at, I guess it's Annie's down in Ardmore, Annie's Cafe, and then we would go to, like, there were all these dive bars and Clef Keys and Annie's, and then when Shooters used to be there, it was next to 23 East.
Yeah, I remember Shooters.
Shooters.
I bartended at Shooters when I was 17 years old, and they knew that I was 17, and it got busted all the time.
Really?
Wow.
Wow. All right. Thank you, Maureen.
Tonight's an underage night.
So by the way,
show your Scholastic card and get in for free.
The bar on Temple's campus that I was thinking of was Maxie's.
Maxie's?
Yeah.
Okay. So when's the last time you went? To Jake's.
We would go, we used to go back for homecoming each year, and I haven't been to homecoming for years now, but, you know, it was probably, I don't know, you know, 6-7 years ago, something like that.
Nick, if you were to go back to Bucknell, where would you go?
I went to upstate this year, and I went to the Bull Run. I stopped by where...
The Bull Run,
the Bull Run, yeah.
Okay.
And that was the student bar, you know, that's where kids on campus would go. If you were, if you wanted to venture out, you'd go across the street to the town tavern and hang out with the townies.
Right.
But
where are you from, Ponytail Boy?
Yeah, pretty much.
No, and you could get yourself into, you know, was there a bit of a...
You'd mind your P's and Q's in the town tavern.
Yeah.
You could be a student at the Bull Run.
Yeah.
Oh, look at you with your books.
Yeah. I didn't go to college, but I would visit colleges.
Yeah.
Visit my friends who went to college. At University of Missouri, we'd go to the field house.
I went to
where I'd end up being.
I went to a commuter college, so there was really no bar. No. A, B, and B.
It's in the classroom.
Yes,
you just bring your liquor with you.
That's right. Everyone's an alcoholic because they went to a commuter college. But when I was doing the stand-up, that's when I would go to all these places because I'd go to these different schools and they would all, after the show, would, hey, go to, you know, come hang out.
Hey, Casey, at Ursinus, did the kids take over the trap at a certain hour? Like, if you got there after 11 o'clock, was it nothing but Ursinus kids? Or was it, because every time I've ever been, it seemed like a healthy mix.
I would say maybe on wing night.
Okay.
I'm telling you, people, you really didn't go there unless there was some sort of special, and it was 10-cent wing nights, I believe, on Wednesday, wing at Wednesdays.
Mostly a hangout on campus?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When's the last time you went to Trap Tavern?
Yeah, probably a couple of years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it totally changed.
They've really expanded it. Pisses you off?
Yeah. So when I was there...
Son of a bitch!
There was no second floor.
Right.
The only thing that was on the second floor was a women's bathroom.
There wasn't an outdoor area either,
there
right?
Was
no
outdoor. You have that deck area now.
That
nice.
Outdoor deck is great.
Yeah.
So the men's bathroom, which was at the base of the stairs,
yep.
Was, I mean, it was smaller than a linen closet.
Yeah. I've been in... bathrooms
yeah.
that are just like, I can't believe this is even legal.
Like the sink was in the corner and was no bigger than this piece of paper right
yeah.
here.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the trap was the trap where we had the mixer with the kid seat, in the back?
No,
the,
no that was Reed's.
Reed's. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, man.
That's not open anymore.
I did this thing. I was at the trap one night, and do you guys remember Bud Fari?
No.
So Bud Fari was this thing where it was a limo. It was a Bud Fari limo, and they would pick up people at one bar. And they would,
oh, Budwise, Bud Fari, okay.
Yeah, and they would go to another bar.
Thought
and
it was
pick
a guy.
People,
yeah.
Pick up people at that other bar and bring them back to the first bar. So people were at Reed's, or Sinus people were at Reed's. They came over to the trap in a Bud Fari limo, picked me up at the trap. We drank Bud for free all the way to Reed's.
Okay.
And then everybody at Reed's was waiting for us, and we got a big round of applause. And we just went back to the trap.
All right.
By the time
the name's
back,
Fari. Bud Fari.
Bud Fari.
And let me go to...
Here's my sister, Saw.
Go to Greg. Hey, Greg, good morning.
Hey, how's it going? Good. You guys rock.
Thanks, man. What's up, Greg?
Hey, so I live in Westchester, and earlier you guys were talking about relations between the college kids and the townies.
Yes.
And it seems like just really on Walnut Street, where a lot of the students live at houses, that area can get a bit rowdy. But other than that, it's not so bad. And another thing is I went to St. Joe's, mm-hmm. and I think about my junior year, which was 2012, they opened up a landmark right on campus next to the bookstore.
So that kind of
became the place to go.
All right. So it's a full functional independent bar that just happens to be on the campus?
Well, yeah. It was operated under Aramark, I believe.
All right.
And,
well, that's a Catholic school. I'm surprised that they have a bar on campus.
It's sacrificial wine.
Oh, okay.
You drink out of chalices and everything.
Yeah, all the houses at St. Joe's are kind of spread out, so there was no really, like, one place to go. It was either you lived in Manayunk and hit the bars there, or you just kind of
went
to Landmark.
I see actual, there are buses that run that'll take the St. Joe's students down into Manayunk. They'll take them.
Oh, they come over to the shopping center too. They go to the Target and the
all the time.
Chipotle.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And there's a bus that runs down there?
Yeah.
Down to Main Street, Manayunk, the whole deal.
Yeah, somebody was texting in Steve that said a lot of the St. Joe's kids go, that's where they go out. If they're going to go
Manayunk,
out anywhere, they go to Manayunk.
Probably Mad River. And
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, Mad River's a pretty young bar, right? That's early 20s.
Oh, the great events, though, there. You know, we go and whenever we've done stuff and hosted events there, they have the big outdoor events.
But I feel old when I go there.
Kathy, did you ever meet Jake, the owner?
I did not, no. I don't think I ever met Jake. He was also the landlord to, you know, some of the rental property. So I did know a bunch of people that knew him, but I personally didn't meet him.
And you were dating the mayor at that time.
Press, you know, you had mentioned years ago you were, I think, at a casino, you and your friend Will, and you said you were basically invisible to all the young people there.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So I'm guessing when you're asking Kathy if they were, you know, just regulars at the bar, that they were there. She just couldn't see them.
Probably.
Yeah. Like Predator.
Yeah,
absolutely. They just blend in and they don't even exist.
No, they would go earlier in the day.
Okay. Get to Jake's!
Yeah.
Now!
Well, it's it's an end of an era. The bar exists, but the man who started it no longer, Jake Nastase, but he had passed away last week. So yeah, it's one of those places, and pillar in the community. One of those kind of. Just people that's a fixture.
Yep. Generations and generations and generations of people have filtered through there. It's pretty wild.
And like I said, now that we've talked about it, just, keep it in your head. You'll notice the T-shirts.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to look for that. Marissa said she was just flying up from Florida.
Yeah.
And saw one in the airport down there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, years ago, I was in a bar in Europe. We were in Scotland, and there was a guy in there with a Jake's T-shirt on. And
what's
of course,
your name, Lassie?
Well, when you see it, you have to go over and say hi when you're in a place like that.
Just to the stats, I went to a great place named Jake's. Are you familiar?
Wait, no, they were in Scotland, not Ireland.
Oh, my bad.
There you go. Thank you.
Because in Scotland, they only play national anthems.
Of course. All right. Anyway, well, thank you for sharing your stories. We appreciate it. We do have to take a quick break. We'll come back in a second. Don't forget, we have a concert announcement coming up in Music News in due time. We'll be right back.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.